2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah help.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
The noon hour is here. Check it out. And you're locked on to Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports radio station.
It's my station.
It's my station.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, welcome on in, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Happy Friday. The weekend is here, folks. How you doing?
Well, I'm just shocked that we're getting moisture. Who would have thought?
It just keeps coming and coming.
Hey, guys, what's happening?
What's happening?
How are you doing, Sam? Is he joining us today?
He's always with us in our hearts.
Who we got today?
We've got, by the way, 2 o'clock, our old friend, Gary Anderson's going to be stopping by. Actually, we'll be coming by here at RGS Exterior.
Gary Anderson.
The great Gary Anderson will be here.
That guy has seen and done a lot in his coaching career.
Yes. And now is in the world of the collectives, is running Utah State's collective.
Out of all the things I'd have thought Gary Anderson would be doing, finding a way to gather up money for college athletes isn't one of them. But I will, however, state that Gary has always been a player's coach.
Yes.
He's just not a fan of entitlement. And I don't think that he's working so much towards entitlement. What I think he's doing, Scotty, I think he's just trying to get Utah State up to bat.
Yeah.
He's just trying to help a university that he's – always loves dearly, and he's trying to get them up and running. So excited to talk to him about a lot of things. The collective, we're going to talk to him about the 60 and 60. We're going to talk to him about the University of Utah because I actually stood by him through the entire spring game for the University of Utah and talked to him about the talent that was out there. And so we will have a good lengthy discussion about the state of college football with Gary Anderson. Nice get. Glad you could get him to come out.
Yeah, well, it's also good that he comes and just wants to hang out with us, too.
I know.
I said, hey, I texted him earlier today. I'm like, hey, you want to hop on with us? Sure, what time? 2:05. You want me to come by? I'm like, yeah.
He's the king, man. He is the greatest all time. Love that dude.
Yeah.
Pretty much raised Kalani.
Yep.
Raised Morgan. He's done a lot of raising in the coaching world. So we'll talk to him about the current state of coaching across the state as well. Interesting to get his thoughts with BYU's hiring of Jay Hill and how much that can impact BYU's defense.
I think it impacts it immensely. I just don't know this year. Is that fair?
No, it's totally fair. But it's going to have to because you've got some really good offenses you're going to be facing. You've got some really good quarterbacks that you're going to be facing. You're going to need a good defense.
Yeah.
And if he can't get his bearings and get things turned around pretty quickly, then it's going to be a tough season. They'll give up a lot of points.
Well, I just think, like, you could be an elite defense – in the Big 12 and still give up 24 points a game.
Yep, 24 to 27. You could. You could still be very good. I talked a little bit about this. I want to say they had, I think it was 8 or maybe it was 9 of the top 20 offenses in the country last year. But they were terrible defensively.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of that is the offense beating up on the defense or how much of that's the defense allowing the offense to be great. You know, I don't
probably
know.
Probably somewhere in the middle.
Probably somewhere in the middle, but Big 12 defenses were pretty weak last year. And their offenses were very good. So if I could come in with an elite level defense, that's what I'd rather do. I'd rather try to wow the league a little bit with some elite level defense, beat up a team a bit if I could. And I don't know. I don't know if they've got it this year. You're probably right. I think they've got some good talent. I think that Von Pachon was a really good pickup for what they're going to see across the board with the Big 12. You've got to have number to sideline movement.
Yeah.
You've got to have great number to sideline movement. You've got to have great hash to number movement. And AJ is that guy.
Yeah.
You've got Thule and Bywater who, if healthy, can be those guys. But that defensive front is so up in the air. So up in the air for BYU. You hope Tyler Batty takes the next step, but who knows?
We're going to get into this a little bit later in the show. We'll talk NBA Finals coming up in the starting lineup here. But top 60 and 60, the ballots are out. In fact, today is your last day to vote in the 60 and 60. So if you want to let your voice be heard, make sure to fill your ballot out now. Go to kslsports.com, fill that sucker out, and let's go. Let's get you going. And I have not checked the results on this yet. I am purposely trying to stay away from it to kind of I don't have any hints. I don't know how things have gone in terms of our panel of voters.
You know,
I'm not sure yet.
Here's my guess. My guess is very, very few, and I mean very few of our listeners actually got through the voting process. That's my guess. Because I've shuffled through the 60 players probably 20 times, and even as well as I know these players, and I know every name, and I know these players, it took me a good hour and a half to really understand, base it, and start to figure out what my rankings are. I did get my top 10 put together. The best part of it is I don't have to etch my top 10 in stone.
Yeah.
But I do have my top 10. It includes Kingsley Suamataea. It's got Junior Tafuna. It's got Lander Barton. It's got Brant Keithy. I've got Cam Rising. I actually have Karini Reed in my top 10. I've got two that are side by side, Connor Pay and Cole Bishop. That's 10A and 10B. I don't know exactly what I want to do with those two, but got Bywater in there. So I've got my top 10 put together, but Scotty, I don't know how many of our listeners actually got through ranking those 60 players. It is a very difficult task.
Yeah.
So I appreciate people that tried, and I think people that did try start to realize, oh, okay, Hanson, Scotty, and Lloyd, they put a lot
this
of work
is a battle.
In this.
Yep.
It's a tough deal to put it together. How many media members got the ballot this year?
24.
24 media members got the ballot.
Yep.
Well, between the 24 media members and the listener vote, the fan vote, we should have a pretty darn good position across the 60. You know what I did before we jump into the finals, the NBA finals really quick? I ranked the 10 offensive linemen that are in the 60 and 60. I think this is the most offensive linemen we've had in the 60 and 60. Can you think of a year that we've had 10 offensive
no.
linemen in the 60 and
no,
60?
No, you and I, and honestly, when we put the list together, did you notice that?
I did not.
I did not either.
I knew that we pulled quite a few from BYU and quite a few from Utah, but you know, you throw in a Weber State offensive lineman, and I know that Utah State's got a dog or two up front, and they aren't even on the list yet.
Yeah.
So this list actually could be a little bit longer.
Southern Utah quarterback might be missed.
But can I go through my top 10 rankings on offensive linemen? Really
sure.
Quick. Checky, number 10, I went Jaron Kump. Number 9, I went Waylon Lopuelo, Utah State transfer.
Yep.
Number 8, Michael Mokofisi. I actually think he could climb up the list after this year, but I think he's fantastic. He is on that 60 and 60 list. Number 7, I went Utah transfer Paul Maile.
Okay.
Transferred out to BYU from the University of Utah. Number 6, I went with Noah Atagi, the Weber State offensive lineman, who you and I looked at each other sideways when we found out he was back.
Yeah.
Not just back, but back with Weber State because he was spectacular. Number 5, I went the transfer from Oklahoma State, Caleb Etienne, who I think is going to be a very solid offensive lineman. Number 4, I went Connor Pay. Number 3, I went Satoa Laumea. Number 2, I went Keaton Bills. And the number 1 offensive lineman in the list of 60 and 60 is Kingsley Suamataia. That's a pretty good list of 10 offensive linemen right there.
Yeah, I'd say so. Absolutely. That's how many NFL players are there?
7 probably.
Ooh.
That I could see. I think Kingsley. I think Keaton. I think Connor. I think Laumea. I think Atagi and Etienne. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then you could make an argument that Mokofisi will get there. He's young. He's got some work. Don't know if Jaron Kump's an NFL guy. Don't know if Paul Miley's an NFL guy, and I don't have the zero on Waylon Lopuelo yet. Now, I'll get a good up-close look on Waylon Lopuelo this year and get a good feel for it. But
yeah.
I think there's probably 6. My guess is 5 of these 10 will be draft picks.
That's a big number right there.
Yep.
That's a really big number. You ready to see the – wait a minute. I don't know. I'm going to need Madison's help with this a little bit to decipher what I'm looking at.
Oh, so you've got the formulas for the votes?
I decided to – I cheated a little bit. It looks like this is what we're looking at right now.
For the fan vote?
Yeah.
Huh.
That was my response as well.
Yeah, I don't know if that could be right.
We're gonna have to. I tell you what, if you have not voted yet, you need to vote.
Yeah,
because we need some people to jump in on this.
Yeah, go straighten some of this out.
Balance some of this stuff out.
Again, one fan base, very heavy.
Tell you what, would BYU fans get their jaws into a pole, man?
Yeah.
They get after it.
Yeah, sink their teeth into it.
Yeah. They, too, like polls.
Yes, they do. Yeah, they do.
All right, let's get to it. Starting lineup right now, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Hanson Scotty G.
Let's go!
The lineup is set, and it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Guarded by Nikola Jokic. He gets to the dotted line. Jump shot, no good. Rebound, Joker. And there's a triple-double from Nikola Jokic, the second player in NBA history to debut in the NBA Finals with a triple-double. Jason Kidd, the only other one to do that. 7 seconds left to go in the Mile High City. Denver's going to win game number 1 of the NBA Finals. There's the horn. Nikola Jokic triple-double, Nuggets win it by 11, 104-93. 3 more wins, and you win the title.
There you go. The Denver Nuggets get a big fourth quarter performance. They win by 11. Now one step closer to an NBA championship, which I think is, at this point in hands, feels inevitable, honestly.
And Nikola Jokic continues to prove that the voting was wrong.
Yep.
And somehow that MVP race got politicized, and it got turned into something it shouldn't have been turned into.
Yeah. It was, and I don't know if it was overly nefarious. I just think it was Jokic fatigue.
I think a lot of it was Jokic fatigue, but I think a lot of it had to do with Kendrick Perkins and his comments, calling out voters as being racist. And I think that that had some, probably played some real cards when it came to the voting process, be my guess. But Nikola Jokic, and look, that was too tough of a call for me to vote on. If I'd had a vote, I wouldn't have really known where to go, because I'm not an NBA purist. But I think that you take a look at Andy Bailey's numbers, who I really trust, Andy Bailey. Yeah. He's a big-time numbers guy. And it was a no-brainer that it was Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
And all the numbers showed that Nikola was going to do what he's currently doing in the postseason. And what is he currently doing in the postseason? He just put up his seventh triple-double in the last nine playoff games.
Jeez.
Seventh triple-double in his last nine playoff games with 27 points, 14 assists, and 10 rebounds. Lloyd played the cut of the announcer talking about it being only the second triple-double on your NBA Finals debut next to Jason Kidd, but he had the most assists in an NBA Finals debut by anybody in the history of the NBA.
By more than a Hall of Fame point guard, Jason Kidd.
Yeah. Yep. So it's mind-boggling what Nikola is doing.
He's the best player in the game.
He's the best player in the game.
Yeah.
He's not flashy. He's not entertaining. He's not exciting. I get it. He's not. Maybe he is to some. He's not to me. What I like about him is his toughness. I do like his intelligence. It's not his body that makes him great. It's his intelligence. That guy dishes when they close. That guy shoots when they don't. When he feels the right matchup, he'll turn his back to the basket, and he'll take some type of post-rotation move, and he'll get to the rim.
Yeah.
If he gets help defense, he knows where the help defense is coming from, yeah. And he knows who's slashing and who's going to be open running towards the rim. He just makes the right play after right play after right play, and he's active on the boards. And when you really need him defensively, he's not – you can't say much about – Joel Embiid defensively is a better big.
Yeah.
But Jokic is smart enough that when you need a defensive play, a defensive hustle play, he'll give it to you. But then he'll pick up the board.
Who do you want on your team right now, Jokic or Embiid? You're building a team right now. It's Jokic.
It's got to be. And you know, I have seen a lot of former NBA players. Well, when I say a lot, maybe three or four. But ones that I respect say, put me on the court with Jokic.
Yeah. Because
he'll make me great.
He'll make you great as a and that's so rare at that position. Usually that position is such a black hole.
Yeah.
You know, the ball goes in the post and it ain't coming out. And that happens with Embiid a lot. And it's not a knock. If you're an elite scorer, you know, that's great. But the fact is he's so smart, knows, as you mentioned, how to fill the double team, knows where the open man is, 14 assists in his debut. I mean, yesterday on the show, we're like, hey, you know what? Nuggets are probably going to win. Nuggets are probably going to cover. And Jokic will probably have a 30-point triple-double. Well, I was off by 3 points.
Yep.
It was 27-10-14 instead of 30-10-14.
But you were right
My
there.
Bad, yeah. You know? And so, but it's now it's just so common. It's just, it doesn't move the meter anymore. Because and, everybody's like, oh, and, that's just what Jokic does.
And like you just mentioned, it is not a hollow triple-double like
no,
a Westbrook.
It's not a Westbrook triple-double.
It's a full triple-double. It's a teammate-led triple-double that not only fills the stat box, but it fills the win category. And that's what's most impressive about it. So who's capitalizing off of those 14 Jokic assists? It's Jamal Murray. He had 26 points, 10 assists himself, and 6 rebounds. So Jokic and Jamal Murray both going into that 25, 26, 27 point mark, both of them dishing out double digit assists. And Murray only 4 rebounds short of a triple-double himself in 44 minutes of play. He had 18 points by halftime. And, you know, I know that yesterday I was talking about how Vegas had moved it from 8.5 to 9. You said, I believe they'll cover. You're right on the money. They covered by 11. But, Scotty, at one point in this game, and I marked this down, it was 84 to 60. Right near the end of the third quarter, it was 84 to 60. It was a 24-point lead. It was a whooping. And I heard Coach Mike Malone talking about Denver needing to close. He was actually a little bit bitter that they didn't hold on to the 20-point lead and close by 20 instead of 11. And I think that he's probably doing that more for the mental side of things than anything.
You got to nitpick on your team.
It's got to be nitpicky. And so he called them out a little bit on their close, but Denver is a nightmare, and I've never felt more sure that this thing's going to be done in 5.
Yeah. And by the way, our buddy Jay Bird just texted me. Shout out to you, and shout out to all the Aaron Gordon appreciators out there.
Yeah.
Because Aaron Gordon was magnificent defensively again.
He has been such a massive piece, and I would have never guessed this, going all the way back to the Pac-12 tournament that I covered and watching Aaron Gordon. I was sitting by an NBA scout, and I asked him, Utah wasn't on the court. I was just sitting there watching Pac-12 basketball, and I asked him, who should I watch? And he points at this Aaron Gordon. He goes, watch this guy. That's who I'm here watching. And I watched him. I'm like, man, he's good. He's athletic. He was way raw in college.
Yeah.
Way raw.
Super explosive. You could see the athleticism.
Yes, but the roughest edges.
Yeah.
Everything was twitchy and jerky. Nothing was fluid. Everything was kind of wild and gangly. Nothing was compact and accurate. And I remember thinking, okay, I can see the rawness of this guy. But when he was with the Magic, I wasn't overly impressed. But look at what he's doing.
Well, he's also a guy, and I appreciate guys that do this too, when they realize, and I think if you have a good agent and you have good mentors that are in the game and good coaches, they tell you, okay, why are you getting a paycheck? And this is a philosophy for everybody in life. You got to ask yourself, if you're in a job, why are you getting a paycheck? It's because you're good at this, this, and this. Okay, so if you're good at that, zero in on that and be the best at that. And somewhere along the line, somebody told Aaron Gordon, you can be an elite defender in this league. And he's like, you're right. And I'm going to be the best bleeping defender in this league.
Yeah.
And, you know, he may not be, but he's up there, and he's a guy that you can count on. And throughout the playoffs, he's been awesome in that regard.
Well, and he has been critical. I believe that Denver isn't here without Aaron Gordon because I think Kevin Durant would have done more damage.
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't do enough damage that Phoenix beats Denver, but he would have done more damage. And Phoenix, I think, would have maybe a better shot.
Yep, agreed.
If you would have kept – well, I don't know if I – well, if Paul stays healthy and you don't have Eric Gordon on Kevin Durant, I think Phoenix might have gotten past Denver, maybe. But Chris Paul goes down. I can't remember what game it was or for how long.
Midway through the series, wasn't it? Game 2, Game 3?
Game 2, I think it was.
Yeah.
And did not return.
Shocker.
And then Kevin Durant is locked down by Aaron Gordon, and we get the result we got.
Yep.
But you were right. He's so good last night. He's been so good in all of these series for Denver.
All right, folks. We're live here at RGS Exteriors. You know the drill. It's that time of year. And look, the rain keeps coming, which means – you've probably noticed if your rain gutters are working and if they got beat up by the winter, if you had the ice dams and it tore them up, now's the time to get those things looked at. Tim's hanging out with us. How are you, sir?
Hey, Tim.
Oh, it's another beautiful sort of kind of day, right?
Yeah, right.
Hey, you know what? It's warm.
It's a rain gutter kind of. Yes. You guys are working kind of day.
I hope so. Hope so.
They know you're with us, so they might be taking a longer lunch.
Yeah, no, but look, you said it. Man, it's been a brutal, long winter.
Do you remember? I mean, you've been doing this for a while. Do you remember a winter like this?
No. Excuse me.
You've been doing this for five generations. Do you remember any of the generations?
Yeah. Well, so when I started, I was still a teenager, you know, 14 years old. But in 1990 is when I started with the family business, you know, weekends, holidays, etc. And I remember 1993, that winter was very similar to this one, but it didn't last as long.
Yeah.
And so it seemed like we had a lot of snow, but it didn't last and carry just as long as this year. So it's been tough, but I'll tell you, things are really cranking right now. It's amazing to watch and see. It's been fun to see how many customers are really remodeling and doing gutters and siding right now. We actually, believe it or not, had a record sales last May or last month. So
nice.
Month ending. Yeah. But I mean, almost double like our best month we've had. And so what that tells me is people are finally realizing, okay, the economy's okay. We're all right. The interest rates are what they are. They ain't going to change.
I'm not selling.
And I'm not going to sell. I'm going to stay and fix my home up. And that's what we're seeing every day. And so that's what we want to do. Whether, like you say, where it's gutters with the rain today or just the siding, whatever it is, we just want to keep that up and have another great June and keep going.
Well, this is where it starts. All you do is call. And if you've got an idea, just a basic concept, you're sick of the exterior. You're sick of your gutters or your soffit, your fascia. You're just tired of a stone or brick that's on your house and you're sick of seeing it every day. You call Tim and his crew is going to take pictures of your house. They put it into their database and they're able to put the different siding or colors or brick or stone or columns, if you want to add some columns, and they show you exactly what your house could look like if you decide to move forward with a remodel. I think that's one of my favorite parts.
I appreciate
of what we went through was
it's
getting
huge.
That imaging.
It is. I really appreciate you saying that, Hans, because it's true, right? It just there's so much. Anytime a customer or homeowner wants to do a project on their home, what keeps people from doing it more than anything, believe it or not, is fear. It's the fear of unknown. It's the one, I don't want to get screwed. It's the one, I'm not sure what I want to do. Well, if we can take some of those fears away and get some of those roadblocks away, we can really have a really good project. And like you say, by taking that rendering and giving a homeowner what it's going to look like, such a peace of mind. Because you know, okay, this makes sense. This is going to work. This is what I had dreamed of. And if it's not, we tweak it and we get it there. And so it's just part of a process. And I think, especially when you're doing a large exterior on your home, even if it's a small one for that matter, hiring the right contractor to be able to go through the process is almost more important than anything else. Mm-hmm. Because if you can nail the process on the front end, you have 100 times better experience on the back end. And so that's what we're here for, here to help with.
Is that the right one?
Yes.
Okay.
You got it.
Got to make sure. 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110. You call RGS right now, and let's get you squared away. Get on the books. These guys can work some magic for you. It's RGS Exteriors, 801-280-3110, right here on 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone.
Wherever you go, the Zone will be right there with you every step of the way. It's the all-new KSL Sports Zone.
I love it.
Where you can listen to the Zone wherever you may be.
Listen to me, this stuff is available everywhere.
It's your new home for streaming the Zone and getting all the latest news, insight, and analysis of the teams you can't live without. It's the all-new KSL Sports app. Available now wherever you shop for apps. By searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hey, don't miss your chance to win big every week on the Zone. This week on Win Ticket Wednesday, or this upcoming Wednesday, you could win a pair of tickets, see the Doobie Brothers at Maverick Center on June 11th. Listen to the KSL Sports Zone all day on Wednesday for your chance to win.
Scotty, in all of your years of watching a basketball game, going back to game one of the NBA Finals last night, big Denver win. Out of all the games, basketball games you've ever watched in your life, can you remember a team only shooting two free throws?
No.
I, there are some mysteries in sports to me. But watching Miami shoot two free throws through an entire
NBA game,
game one of the NBA Finals, is the biggest mystery maybe in all of sports. It's like seeing a UFO flying around right there in the arena.
I agree. Yeah.
Because it's, first of all, it's the NBA Finals. You're physical. There should be a level of physicality and aggressiveness that's unmatched, untamed. It set an NBA postseason record for minimum free throws taken in a game.
Margin. All right. So remember, it's an 11-point game. And I know at one point it was 24, but it was 20-2. 20 free throws to two. And Denver made
I had to look at that like six times this morning. Because I went through, I watched the game, I went through, and I'm like, they did not. They were not at the line.
Yeah.
I go and I look at it this morning. I had to take a double take and a triple take.
And Jokic had, what, 12 by himself?
Yes.
10 of 12. And, you know, so if you look at your point discrepancy, it's essentially a 14-point spread where, you know, Denver made 16 and Miami made two.
I can't even believe
it. Hey, at least they shot 100%.
I can't even believe it.
No, it's...
I don't understand how that happens. Is that officials?
It's officials. It's style of play. You know, when you look at a team that... It's not like, you know, they shot 39 threes last night. You know, a lot of their work was being done on the perimeter, so they didn't force the issue a lot. But still, that's a huge discrepancy. That will not happen again. That's going to be a number that I guarantee that your officials are going to look at, the NBA is going to look at and say, yeah, we can't let that happen again.
So what I would do in game two, I would make sure that the officials know that the two free throws was completely ridiculous.
Yep.
And then I would slam my body into everybody that is standing within 2 feet of me.
There is... You know, the coaches say this all the time. I've talked to so many basketball coaches, and I'll always bring it up when I'm calling a game. When you see a foul that is not called or a controversial call on one end, and you will see on the other end players being super aggressive because they know the officials in their mind were like, I may have screwed up there or I may have given this team one. If you put me in a situation where I remotely – have to call a whistle, I'm going to blow it and give it to you guys because I owe you one.
Yeah.
And so, but it's up to you to force the issue to go get it.
Yeah. That is my thought process. If I'm Jimmy Butler, I'm thinking I'm going to be as physical as I've got to be to press them to the point of, oh boy, we better start blowing whistles here.
Yep. I mean, if Miami comes out next game and shoots 45 threes, and doesn't attempt to try to be physical, then they're not going to get the whistle. But if they do force a level of physicality, they should be rewarded by the officials in game two.
And they'll get the whistles.
And they'll get them.
It's one of the more remarkable stat lines I have seen in a postseason game, not just this year, but ever. Two free throws taken. Two free throws made by a bench guy, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if you've got the box score. I think that the starting five.
It was Highsmith.
Yeah, it was Highsmith. Starting five didn't take a single free throw.
Haywood Highsmith.
How many minutes did Highsmith play?
Haywood Highsmith played 23 minutes last night.
So you got starters.
Attempted 10 field goals, too. He was 7 of 10 from the field. He had 18 points. He had a good night.
Yeah, he was aggressive.
But, again, that's another guy on this Miami team that you're looking at like,
huh?
Highsmith?
What?
Who?
18 points, 10 shots in 23 minutes? He's the only one to get to the line? But how about your starting five not taking a single free throw? Each of them probably in that 30 to 40-minute range.
Lowry played 26 minutes. Robinson played 21. You know, and then you go up to your starters. You got Bam with 40 minutes, attempted 25 field goals, and did not go to the free throw line. Jimmy Butler, who, by the way, was negative 17 on the court last night.
Oh, boy. That was not the playoff Jimmy we're used to.
No. And it's thing, this was the regular season Miami Heat last night. I don't know if like it struck midnight and Cinderella, now all those little rats are now running around wondering what had just happened.
Mm-hmm.
Who turned into the horse?
The carriage goes back to the pumpkin.
Pumpkin. Yeah, like everything's back to normal and you're like, wait a minute.
The candlestick turns back into a French maid.
Yeah. I don't remember that part.
The candlestick was like a French maid.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember
that. In Cinderella?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's been a minute.
it's been many, many minutes.
Of course, the French maid resonates.
Of course.
But, yeah, it's
point
like...
Point taken, though, Scotty.
All of a sudden, boom, you're like, wait a minute. This is the team we saw for 82 games.
This is the eighth seed.
That barely sneaked into the playoffs.
Oh, it's the eighth seed.
I mean, if I'm...
Good to see you here.
If I'm the Greek freak, I'm sitting at home like, whoa, why do I not get these guys?
Two free throws. Look at the lack of aggression.
This is messed up.
Down by 24. Where was this team?
Yeah.
They obviously didn't have the touch. They were getting looks, though. I'm not going to take that away from Miami.
No.
They got some looks. If they knock down those looks, they'll at least keep it closer than 24 points or the final 11-point spread. They'll keep it closer than that. But I still think it's going to be really difficult for them to get a win. Watching Jamal Murray nearly put up a triple-double and Nikola Jokic put up a triple-double and do it without an obvious struggle or obvious effort.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've seen a more casual triple-double in my life. Jokic makes it seem effortless.
He is the king of, I think that's a great line, the casual triple-double.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the dude rolls out of bed and we'll get you a triple-double.
And
make it look effortless.
And on the flip side, you know, when Jamal Murray's pushing, you could see Jamal Murray pushing a little bit more. It's not as free-flowing and effortless. Jamal Murray has got the hustle button pressed down as hard as he can. And that's a little bit more obvious. The other thing is, these guys aren't going to run out of gas. They're seeing four games. They're seeing five games. And they're going to go full tilt.
Yeah.
They know that they can close this thing out pretty quick and get their hardware.
You're not playing until Sunday. Although I do think, you know, we talked about a sloppy first quarter. And, you know, Denver was beating up on Miami pretty good right out of the gate. Now, yeah. I know Miami kind of closed the gap a little bit in the there was really never any moment where you felt like Denver was going to lose this game.
No, they got within, 10?
Yeah.
And then the final of 11, and it never felt really in threat.
I mean, 17 at half.
Did you – it's funny because these guys, and especially Jokic – speaks in kind of veiled speak. Nobody wants to tip their hand on anything, but it had gotten out in the media that Coach Mike Malone had issued them a test, some type of test, before game one of the finals. And somebody was asking the team or asking the players, and they're like, what test? And what are you talking about? But apparently Coach Malone did something that zeroed them in, that squared them away, and prepared them mentally to jump on the court and do what they're doing. I do think that there are some coaching tricks in those 9 days off to keep your team's mind fresh, to keep them laser focused, even with the finals in view. I still think as a coach, you got to take steps. Because who was it that we saw that 9 day or 10 day layoff that came out and laid an egg? There was, I'm trying to think of who it was that had swept the team in the conference finals. And was it the Jazz that were waiting?
Well, the Jazz, back in, but they won game one. It was 98, the final NBA finals. The Bulls and the Pacers went seven games, and the Jazz swept the Lakers. But the Jazz won game one in overtime.
They did.
And then the Bulls reeled off three in a row after that.
But they did get game one.
They did get game one.
It was really interesting just to see
by the way,
how crisp and focused
after game one, Gordon, our buddy Gordon, writes a column that says, essentially, the Jazz are going to win the finals. It's over. It's done. And PK was the one that wrote the headline and wrote something like, put a fork in Jordan, he's done, or something like that.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
This was in what year?
98. So Gordon wrote the column, which was pretty strong in
aggressive.
Saying, pretty aggressive in saying the Jazz were going to win. And then PK, because columnists don't write their headline. Somebody else writes the headline. PK writes the headline and comes over the top with the elbow and be like, he's done. It's over.
So did Gordon try to displace some of the heat on PK?
Oh, I'm sure he did.
The piece isn't as bad as the headline.
Like, what did he say? Clueless Kyle?
Yeah, Clueless Kyle or Witless Waiting Game.
That
or
wasn't
something.
Me.
I didn't write that.
It was a bad. It was one of the worst headlines I've ever seen. And, you know, I'm all for pointing at things and trying to call out things. That headline was rough. And he got away from it fast. Why didn't he write that?
12:49, Hans and Scotty, what you may have missed coming up next right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
But the Big 12 has to be very specific about who it adds to. Don't just add teams to add teams. Pac-12, don't just add, you know, San Diego State just because you go, we got to put some more numbers in here so we can, because the name 12 is in our conference name. Don't just add teams because you think there might be value there. If there is, if you love that partnership, and I think that, frankly, if you were going to trade a couple teams, I think San Diego State would probably be a better pickup than having Colorado in your conference, to be quite honest.
Ooh, wow.
Well, I mean, think about it. This is a basketball team in the national championship game. Ooh,
but that's once in a blue moon.
It's Unrivaled. Afternoons from 3 to 6. Presented by G2G Bars. Perfect for anyone who needs a quick, tasty, and nutritious boost. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right, yeah!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hey, make sure to join Unrivaled for the Show Up for Summer Service Fair at Thanksgiving Point coming up June 5th from 3 to 6. Learn more at showuputah.org. That's showuputah.org.
Turn this up a little bit. It's good music.
What do we got here?
What?
Your jam. Some Guster.
This is old school Guster. Can we get at least some good Guster?
This is good Guster, man.
This is what I had in the system. My guy wanted to do something good for you.
What's the name of the song? I don't even know this song.
Perfect. It just sounded like it had a good beat to it, so I went with it.
It's a good beat, but that's a B-side right there.
My bad. I was
all right, we'll bring it on down.
I was trying to do something fun and
I was like, well, here's the thing. I thought you, I knew, like, I was looking at something and I heard you and Lloyd have a conversation about music. And so when I heard the song, I'm like, okay, well, this sounds like something I would listen to, but not something that you would listen to. So I'm like, I'm really surprised you would pick this song.
Well, it sounds like something you would listen to if it was like one of the last things on an album, possibly. If it was all that was left to listen to, you would listen to it.
I told Lloyd I wanted some Fiona Apple, and he's like, no, we're going with Guster. All right.
If you want a Guster playlist, I'll give you a Guster playlist.
Sure.
So that song wouldn't have made it?
Apparently not. That song. No, that would have been one of the old songs.
Hey, a couple things. Lloyd, you want to give us a quick World Series update?
Yes. So Washington is up on Utah right now, 2-1, bottom of the fourth. Washington is up and has two outs and a lady on first.
All right. Just so everybody understands, it's seven innings.
Seven innings.
Women's college softball. So seven innings. You said it's the bottom of the what?
Bottom of the fourth.
Okay. Got to find a way to wrangle up a couple of runs.
Let's go.
What are the commentators saying?
You know what? I'm not sure because I'm actually listening to a radio show right now. So I don't know what they are saying.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm just producing a radio show right now. My bad.
And just putting on some jams for my guys that they don't even like. That's what I'm
like
doing.
It.
That's what I'm doing. What are you
I'll
doing?
I'll tell you this. You guys play a little John Cicada. I don't care what it is. I'm going to like it.
I got you. I got you. You'll appreciate
it. Wrap it up like a dog in a dish.
Was there another John Cicada song?
Yeah, there's plenty.
There's plenty, but there's one that we just really love.
Plenty. I'm sure there's many.
In fact, he probably doesn't even have a B-side. Just B-side. All A. So good.
Just A's. Yeah, there's no B's when it comes to John Cicada.
Hey, the other thing I wanted to mention in what you may have missed, Utah Jazz G League, the Salt Lake City Stars has hired a guy that you know really well, Steve Wojo.
Yeah, Wojo, Steve Wojciechowski, who was the coach at Marquette forever, played at Duke, was an assistant with Mike Krzyzewski for a long time. Got the Marquette job and had some success at Marquette, ultimately was let go, and then has just been hanging out. And he actually, I believe he lives in Park City now, has lived in Park City for the last year or so, and was rumored to be one of the finalists for the Utah State job that ultimately went to Danny Sprinkle. I know there was a lot of mutual interest there. And but ultimately, the job went to Danny Sprinkle, and now he's the head coach of the Salt Lake City Stars.
He was really close with Coach Quinn Snyder,
yes,
for a long period of time, and understands what they're trying to do here with this Jazz organization. That hire is pretty big, isn't it?
He's got a big name.
They want to make it kind of a close tandem of what they're doing with the Stars in relation to the Jazz.
But it's a name that resonates because of his ties to Duke and Marquette. Like, this guy was a fixture in the college basketball scene for a long, long time. So, you know, there you could have some parallels to Quinn Snyder in terms of a successful college player, successful college coach that it just, after a while, just didn't go right, ultimately fired, and then now takes the G League job to try to work his way back into the coaching world. And this might be something that, you know, jumpstarts his career to a certain extent. I do know that he impressed. He was impressive in his interviews at Utah State.
So Danny Sprinkle must have knocked it out.
Oh, he knocked it out of the park. Yeah. Yeah.
Because that was a pretty tough decision and an interesting scenario that Utah State found themselves in with an interim athletic director and a lame duck sitting president. They're trying to make probably the second biggest athletic department hire that you can make in that scenario. Knowing what I've seen from that department over the years, they've hit on a lot of good hires.
They have. Yep. All right. Hands of Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Tim's hanging out with us. We're live here at RGS Exteriors. We talk about rain gutters and we talk about how important those are, but let's talk about the outside of your home. A lot of people coming out this winter and looking at how well the paint held up and how the exterior held up, and they're like, oof, time to get something done. This house is looking dated.
Well, there's no doubt this winter was not a good winter on our homes in Utah, right? It was very, very harsh, but I think a lot of it is just a matter of walking out, checking out. I think with gutters too, it's really important to we're seeing every day how much damage the snow and ice did to gutters. So I think it's important for homeowners to just walk around and look, because it's not something you think about until you flood or you get some leaks in your basement. So, you know, try to be preventative of that as much as you can and walk around, kind of check it out. But then, if it's just time to make a change and you're ready to stay in the home with the interest rates being what they are and you don't want to refinance and or move, Let's get the project done.
Some people are at a 4. Some people are at, like, you know, I think I'm at like 3.8 or something like that. Like, there's a lot of people that have an interest rate that, like, you may never see again in your lifetime. And you don't want to give that up, even though you, in your mind you've been thinking, oh, I'm just going to go to, you know, this will be a home, and then I'll sell this, and then I'll get into my dream home. Well, you can just turn your current home into your dream home.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing that more every day. I mean, it, kind of all the experts are saying that the interest rates have kind of peaked, so they're probably not going to go much higher, but at least for the short term, but they're not going to get much lower either. I mean, they might drop a half a point, but you're going to get down in the fives. You're not going to ever get down in the threes and fours. And so, you know, it's difficult to go buy a new home with a big interest rate. I mean, your buying power drops dramatically. So you stay in your home and you can get an equity line. We can provide financing that's very affordable. You can even do is financing that doesn't cost you a penny. You can do 0% for 6 and 12 months that literally costs you absolutely nothing. You can get the job done today and pay for it then. So there's just so many things you can do to stay in that home and make your, like you said, your what you thought was a temporary home, your forever home.
So I had somebody tell me that Hardy Plank that is installed in Utah is actually designed and specified for Utah. Is that true?
Yeah. So what happens is James Hardy has a couple different formulas, and depending on where you live in the country and depending on your climate, there's different plants throughout the country. And so the Hardy that's made for Utah is specifically designed for our type of climate and is made in a factory for just us.
Still the best siding to put on a house.
I mean, I think so. Right now, there's a lot of options. A lot you're seeing a lot of times people are doing is doing the commercial world, kind of bringing that commercial world on a residential with some custom metal and some high-end stuff. And those are all still really good for accents, but they're not necessarily feasible to do an entire home where Hardy is. And that's why James Hardy is by far the best thing to do on your standard home.
Well, and the great thing is you've got so many people that, you know, that know what they're doing and know the latest trends and can sit down and digitally show you what your home will look like and go through pretty much everything to get a plan for how you want to proceed.
That's right. It's, I mean, look, and that's whatever we can do to help with that process is what we're here for.
801-280-3110. Call right now. Get on the books. It's RGS Exteriors, 801-280-3110, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah,
we've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
The KSL Sports Zone. So we talked about songs that may have had a purpose in college. Crash by Dave Matthews Band was certainly up there.
Yeah,
but this was your go-to?
It was my go-to.
Yeah, it still moves my heart, buddy.
Yeah. Does it move Mama's heart?
No, she can't stand it.
Really?
Oh, it's caused a lot of tumult
in
her marriage.
That's too bad.
Yeah, it is too bad. Because it could be such a great come together song.
Well, it is actually a little, you know, when you listen to the lyrics, it's kind of a depressing song.
It is. I don't get too deep into the lyrics. I just kind of hear, I can't spend another day without you.
Yeah.
That's what I take from it.
All right.
All right, so if you're trying to get on Mama's good side, what's the go-to song?
Sade.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sade.
Okay.
Stand by you. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, she loves Sade, man. Anything Sade is going to... the other thing is Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Something's always wrong?
No. The Spot of the Ocean.
Okay.
No, not Something's Always Wrong. Toad the Wet Sprocket. And then if if she's running a little bit high on anxiety or anger, anything reggae, UB40, Bob Marley.
Okay.
Anything reggae, and it brings her right back to square. She is a reggae girl.
It's a Southern California roots, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm still trying to wrap my brain around Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just what it is. How about Jenny?
There's this band called Vampire Weekend she really likes.
What?
Yeah. It's actually a really good band.
Lloyd, can you pull up some Vampire Weekend for me? I'm curious. Rock band?
Yeah.
Hard rock?
Kind of indie. Indie stuff.
Yeah.
I actually... Yeah, that's it.
Oh, so kind of Mighty Mighty Boston. Yeah. A little bit of a Mighty Mighty Boston?
Yeah, not ska. But...
This isn't ska?
No, this is not ska. Yeah, it does kind of have a little bit of a ska feel to it.
Well, I don't hear the horns.
Yeah, there's no, there's not going to be a trumpet or a trombone in it.
You got to throw horns in for it to be real ska.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, we're all over the place in our house. Yeah, I don't know. I just never see that song. I've never heard her play. I've never heard her put that one on before. You got Harmony
Must
Hall.
Must have been on the B-side.
Oh, Vampire Weekend, Harmony Hall?
Harmony Hall. That's the one she really likes.
Oh, that's some good guitar.
Yeah. Oops, sorry.
Some pretty darn good guitar.
Yeah. That's her jam. You put, if I'm in trouble, I put a little Harmony Hall on, and then everything's going to be okay.
Hey, Lloyd, what do you play for your beautiful bride after there's a little fender bender? Just to try to calm down.
Hypothetically,
back
of course.
When you back into a problem or two, what do you do, Lloyd?
Oh, man, Tim McGraw does it right. Tim McGraw. A little bit of Tim McGraw will get her in the right spot.
When you feel like your tires are going flat.
And you're just spinning. You don't know where you're going.
Did everything go okay yesterday?
Oh, everything's all right.
I was thinking about throwing a call your way.
Just everything's
fine.
Just
make sure everything's okay at home.
I didn't know Scotty.
She wasn't happy with your message, by the way.
What? Oh, I hope you didn't show her that.
No, I didn't share that one. I didn't.
Okay. That's probably for the best. All right, so 60 and 60 continues on, and I want to revisit this too because I think this is a pretty remarkable number. We've offensive linemen have been a big part of the 60 and 60, but when we have 10 out of the 60 players are offensive linemen, that's saying something.
I think it's a really good year for BYU and Utah offensive lines. The crazy thing is I had to take a couple of guys off. You know, I was looking at Keim, who's going to be playing potentially a tackle position, but I think Keim is probably going to be coming off the bench because you brought in Caleb Etienne, and I would imagine that Caleb Etienne is going to get an opportunity to win that start. You transferred in Paul Miley. That just was one good player transferred to the other, but he's on that list. Jaron Kump is on that list, and I continue to wonder what happens with Jaron Kump because I think that they want to get Spencer Fano involved somehow, and I don't know if it's right out of the gates, but they pressed him really hard through spring. Spencer Fano is one of their top recruits that they signed out of. I can't remember where he played. I think it was Sky Ridge or someone in Utah.
Yeah, I bet Tim would know.
I'm not a high school guy.
Spencer Fano? Oh, Tim can't remember
either. But I'm telling you, he had a great spring ball.
Yeah.
A great spring ball, and the coaches were extremely impressed by him. So, Jaron Kump right now is kind of a swing guy.
Where at? Tempview.
Tempview. They still have Michael Mokofisi, who's going to be great. And when I look at the two offensive lines for Utah and BYU, it's going to be really hard to find an offensive line unit that was better than these two. They're really good. They've put together some really good offensive linemen. I would imagine there's probably an argument for one or two Utah State guys that you could probably make. And you could probably make an argument for a freshman or two that's showing up. But these 10 offensive linemen are as good as any 10 we've had in previous 60 and 60s.
Yeah. And you mentioned it could be as many as five offensive linemen in the NFL from this group.
Drafted. Yeah.
Not just camp invites.
No, I think that there's probably five draft picks off this list, and I would say probably six, but maybe seven of the 10 will eventually find their way to the NFL. I just don't know what Jarrett Kump will do in development. So I don't know where he'll go or what he'll do. And Waylon Lapoeo, I've got to look at a little bit more. And Noah Atagi, just based off of the competition he's played against, that would be the other one. Otherwise, the other seven are probably, if not drafted, free agent pickups that are going to be good, solid players. There's some aggressive players on here. Lamea, the guard, moved tackle for the University of Utah, very aggressive, and he can play across the board. Connor Pay, that's going to be an interesting, because you bring Paul Miley from the University of Utah, who can snap. Do you move Connor Pay to the guard position, or because Connor Pay feels like more of a natural center to me, or do you move Paul Miley to the guard, or do you have maybe a better fit at guard and Paul Miley is a bench guy?
Yeah.
And gives you some needed depth. But yeah, Scotty, you're right. Really good offensive lines here in the state of Utah. And then I went through and put my top 10 together. I did not put them 1 through 10. I just took my 10 best. And I've got Kingsley Suamataea on there.
Who, by the way, I would think should be in the running for the number one player in the top 16.
He should. He's getting a lot of hype. I saw, what did he take, 365 or 375 snaps last year and did not give up a single sack. I can't remember what the passing downs were or what the pass set ratio was, but it was a high ratio. So he's really good, and he was still young. That was his first true full year on a football field.
And he's already getting first round draft grades.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of those. Yeah. I've seen a couple of those. He is getting some really nice national hype.
I mean, this might be his last year. Certainly could be.
Probably will be.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably will be. Two guys that I think you could make an argument for number one. Junior Tafuna, you could make an argument for him, and you could make an argument for Lander Barton. I think that those two defensive players are going to be as fierce and nasty and used as you can possibly find. I heard Jake and Ben talking about the 1660 a little bit, and they were talking about Cam Rising on his own team. Is he the number one player on his own team? If he was 100% healthy and all things considered, we could probably talk about that. But I think where Cam Rising currently sits, I wouldn't put him as the number one on his own team, let alone the number one player on the 1660. The prospects of it, but I think it's going to take some time for Cam Rising to get back. I think not to get back. I'm talking get back to Cam Rising.
Yeah.
Taking those hits that he took against USC and got up and strapped his helmet back on with a big grin and rallied his team because he's so stinking tough. I have a lot of respect for him, but I'd probably put Junior Tafuna and Lander Barton above him right now. I'd probably put Brant Keithy above him.
Yeah, I would too. Yep. Okay, what do you mean? Go through that list. So you got Lander, Keithy. Who's the other one you'd put above him?
On his Kingsley.
On his own team, yeah.
Junior Tafuna.
Junior, okay, yeah.
And Lander Barton.
And probably Keithy.
And probably Brant Keithy.
Yeah. Now, if he comes back and that knee's completely healthy, then that changes things. But I don't know. And I feel bad saying this. I'm going to believe it when I see it, because Kyle's saying all the right things, the team's saying all the right things, but But they're going to. They're not going to be like, hey, man, that knee is.
Yeah.
They got in there and it was worse. And he's having a hard time coming back from it. Like, nobody's ever going to say that. Everybody's always going to say, look, he's on schedule. He looks good. Doctors are happy. He's hitting all his milestones. Everything's great. They're always going to say that. And they should say that. There's no reason not to say that. But until we see him, whether it's a fall camp or taking that first snap against Florida, I'm going to be wary of what things are going to look like.
A little apprehensive.
Him. Yeah.
It's not based off what we know of him. It's based off what we think of this injury. And
how late in the year it happened. I mean, look, you're January 1 or 2, whenever that game was. And that's just a tough thing to come back from. It's tough to ask on that kid. You're right. It's not a knock on Cam as a person or his ability. It's just a lot to ask for somebody to bounce back from that kind of injury and be ready to go on, you know, August 31st or whenever that first game is.
It's like a 6.5 month
period.
7 month, 6.5 month period. It's a really quick turnaround. I put Kareny Reed in my top 10. And I did it for a reason. I think that with Samote Pepa, Junior Tafuna, guys like Connor O'Toole, guys like Logan Fano, even a Van Fillinger when he gets back and healthy. I know I'm missing. Oh, coach's son. Defensive end coach's son. Ellis.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Jonah Ellis.
Yeah.
When I'm looking at that defensive front, I know that these linebackers are going to get highlighted. Kareny Reed is going to get highlighted. Lander Barton is going to get highlighted. So the reason I put them in the top 10, I think they're playing in a system, in a format with a front in front of them that's going to make them look like a top 10 player. And I don't know if that's the way we should look at our top 10, but that's the way I look at it because the production is going to be really high.
Yeah.
And they're going to look really good. We don't have the Logan Fano or the Spencer Fano picks on there because
we don't know.
We don't know. We got to have
a body of work there.
Got to have at least a snap or two so we can see them in college game action.
And again, we'll re-rank at the end of the year and they may be on there for sure. I think there's going to be some wide receivers at Utah State that are going to be on there. But you can't put them on there now without something to draw from.
I think there's going to be at least one O-lineman that'll show up on there.
I mean, we went and, I mean, what was the issue we had last year from Utah fans? Is that, and now I'm spacing the name, the running back that was the true freshman that everybody kept saying, he's got to be on the top 60 and 60. And it was like, and we almost buckled on it. Because Kyle kept saying how great he was going to be, and everybody's like, this guy is going to be Jalen Glover. And it was like, this guy's going to be great. He's going to take over. He's going to be the next 1,000-yard guy. And all these high, high expectations. And he had a pretty good year. I mean, he had 360 yards and 4 touchdowns and played 9 games. But we didn't feel comfortable putting him on the list because there was no body of work there. Right. And to put a true freshman on a top 60 and 60 just wasn't the right thing to do.
Which, how many guys did you have to shave off? How many guys did we have to shave off there at the back end when you were getting ready to send the list over to Maddie?
It's about 7 or 8.
So you think we got 7 or 8 that we had to slim off that list.
Yeah.
And we're talking about putting somebody that never took a snap in front of any one of those guys or any one of the probably 15 or 20 that have put a body of work out there that have actually made an on-field argument to be on there. I just don't feel right about that. You take a look at some of the biggest recruits in the country, some of the biggest names and recruits in the country. Arch Manning is not even going to start at Texas.
Looked miserable in the spring game.
Really struggled in the spring game. So I just think it's right. I think it's right what we do. You could throw transfers on there. The transfers that you know about, you can throw them on there, but I don't think the freshmen deserve to be on there. By the way, your voting opportunity is really starting to slim down out there. So get out to kslsports.com. You'll see the big 60 and 60 banner. Click on it and get your vote in.
Yep. All right, top 60 and 60. Remember, it all gets underway beginning next week. And we're fired up. This is going to be a lot of fun, as always, to get it going. But again, top 60 and 60 right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. If you want to vote in the fan vote, it's available for you at kslsports.com. This is the last day of voting. All right, Tim's with us. We are live here at RGS Exteriors. Come by, or better yet, just call and get on the books, and let's get you squared away. 801-280-3110. So it's June. What's like the number one thing you're doing right now? You guys do so much for houses, but what's like your number one priority right now?
Yeah, I think that what's kind of probably happening is two things. One is just the gutters, because we've come off such a harsh winter. So gutters would be one. And then I think number two would probably be our James Hardy siding. Mm-hmm. The homeowners wanting to redo their exteriors, and Hardy tends to be kind of the fallback on.
I think about all the different projects you've done for me. You know, I had the major snow issue on that metal roof, and you installed the snow bar and got some of that heating wire put through the gutters, and it's been so nice not to, and going through the winter we just went through, it's been so nice not having to deal with the damn gutters, or gutters that get damned.
Yeah, we knew what you meant. I liked that. That was good.
It's getting a little loose.
You know, look, here's the reality. What we talked about a little bit last segment, but peace of mind is so important for everything in your home. And what causes so much buyers to hold back is fear. But that's what we want to do. We want to eliminate the fear. We want to eliminate the nervousness. What's this going to be? What's it going to look like? We talk about, we do the rendering, so you know what it's going to look like. We want to make it so that you have peace of mind throughout the entire process, so they're not nervous, you're not scared, you're not worried about getting ripped off, you're not worried about getting taken. The other thing you see a lot of times is contractors will come in with a lower price and then change order the heck out of you.
Wow.
And then that's how they end up charging you more than way more than what you thought. And so to me, with a good reputable company that doesn't play that game, and to just work you through the whole process is what we're all about. We want to just give you that peace of mind, so you don't have to worry about your gutters being damned.
Damned gutters. And,
but also so that you can have a nice, beautiful exterior as well, and have it updated and look like today's, what new homes look like today.
Well, I know there's a lot of people out there concerned, especially with interest rates and things like that, that they're like, look, you know what, here's my budget, this is where I need to be at. And you come in, and I know one thing, you guys are honest, and look, you know, stuff happens in a project for sure, and we get that. But I mean, I know for a fact you guys are so cognizant of, this is our bid, and we're going to do everything we can to stick to that bid.
That's all we can really say, right? I mean, it's so important. It's so simple and so cliche, but it's what's important, and it's what matters.
Yeah. If you need to do anything to the outside of your home, these guys can help. It's RGS Exteriors. Give them a call right now. Get on the books, from ring gutters to James Hardy to brick, siding, whatever you need to do. Are you still painting brick white and black?
Yeah, we will. I hate painting brick, but yes, we do it all the time.
But you'll do it. If you want it done, you'll do it. 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110 right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Tim Lacombe, Utah Jazz radio studio analyst.
Are they comfortable at 9, or do you think that doesn't really matter if we're 7, 8, 9, because we have enough assets to where we can move up?
They certainly got their board and their favorites, and the big key is to try to figure out who's going to take who. If they see a guy and they've done their intel and they've done their workouts and there's just somebody that they feel like they can move up enough and grab, I would expect them to be aggressive and do that. But the one thing I will say is there is a slew of names that, depending on how the draft falls, that group of guys that come up seem to be guys that can really help. You know, if it's looking like they're going to be, you know, in the game for one of those, then maybe you stand back.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Your good, it is your bad, it is your ugly right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you're all having a good Friday. We're live here at RGS. Whatever you need done to your home, RGS is going to help make it happen for you. Hey, by the way, can I get to a good?
Yeah.
Quick? A personal good? Shout out to the 11, 12-year-old Carolina Panthers last night.
How'd they do?
Wrapping up, we took on the only undefeated team in our league. Okay, that team came in undefeated. We're coming in with two losses on the year. We shouldn't have lost. We should have been undefeated. Anyway, that's another story. That's what happens when you deal with 15-year-old refs. That's another story.
And assistant coaches.
No.
Oh, you're right.
But last night we came out, and I was just telling Tim about it because I tweeted out a picture about my guys. You look at my guys, and I love them, okay? But they're a ragtag bunch of dudes, right? And we were playing an undefeated team. They came out. They got the wristbands. They're decked out to the nines, all the gear. They're bigger. They're faster. And I'm looking. I'm like, we might have a long night tonight. And that's all right. We got our four wins. Our five wins. We're guaranteed our winning record. We're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be fine. And we smoked them.
Really?
Just smoked them. And our guys were running smack. It was
catching them on misdirection. Did you have to pull out the gadgets?
Oh, no, just running that triple option, man. They had no answer for it. They're used to somebody coming in there and throwing it 40 times, and we're running.
Were you getting brave on your down and distance calls?
We're running full back dive. We're running option to the outside. I even ran in a little hook and ladder off of a swing pass. I mean, we got it done last night.
So it's not like you glued flags to the hips or nothing?
No, not that those officials know. But, no, man, it was fun. I was just telling Tim, I was so happy those kids were on cloud nine.
How was the tackling on your side? Must have been pretty good.
Well, it's getting flag.
Well, no, that's what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
But when you get the flag off, that's a tackle.
Yep. I mean, our guys it was unbelievable. And I had a parent that said, like, it was like the movie Sandlot, where you remember the kids, like the neighborhood kids, they play the little league team that has all the uniforms and look the part, and they just smoke them.
Yeah.
Same thing last night. Our guys, they don't look the part, right? But they hustle.
So
and they do all the right things.
Peppercorn's not showing up.
Little Giants. Have you seen Little Giants?
I don't think so.
That's my team right there. That's my team.
I don't think I've seen Little Giants. But I'm proud of those guys. Because the odds were stacked against them.
I went in and I thought, you know what? If we keep this within three touchdowns, it's going to be a W. I'll take it. And, honestly, that's the fun part about sports, though, really, is when, you see kids do things that you weren't really expecting. That's what U Sports is all about. Because those kids are going to hold on to that memory for a long time. Because there were a lot of – they had friends on that team that we tried to recruit.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we don't want to play with you guys.
All right. Well, then you'll take the L.
And then you're going to take the L.
You'll like it.
It was cool.
Hey, really quick, and the good as well. I wanted to mention this. If you've got land out by Jordanelle Reservoir, you probably just made a lot of money.
Oh, yeah?
Have you been out to Jordanelle Reservoir?
Yeah.
It's you go up Provo Canyon, it's kind of between Park City and
and
Heber.
I haven't been on the water, but I've seen it. Yeah, for sure.
Well, it's just been announced that they are putting in what they're calling the Mayflower Mountain Resort. It is the first world-class alpine village ski resort that will be developed in North America since 1981. 5,600 acres, and they are building a new ski resort. This is going to be huge for anybody that's out that way. You put in these types of resorts, there are going to be people that hate it because they bought land out there in an effort to get away from people, and now they're dropping a resort in that is going to be akin to Park City or Deer Valley or some of the resorts that we've got up there. But looks like this is going to be quite the build out there, Scotty.
Ooh.
Mayflower Mountain Resort. Several new ski lifts allowing skiers and mountain bikers access to extensive terrain, both summer and winter. Ski terrain will extend into the heart of the village. I'm a little bit shocked because we had a lot of winters that I don't think that resort would have done real good in skiing. And out by our old stomping grounds. They tried to put one out there by Brundage, a ski resort up in Idaho. They tried to build a new ski resort, and it sank. It went under because they just didn't have the snow to keep it above water. So, you know, you take a big gamble when you go out there and do that. This year would have been great. But we've had
not
some,
every year is going to be that way.
We've had some lean snow years.
Yeah. All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Do you know this guy?
I do not know the name.
They call him Tank. He's 29-0, Scotty. He's an undefeated boxer. And right now, as much as I can't stand him, and I won't watch him, he just fought. He had a huge fight. Maybe 2 weeks ago, and got a big win. Gervonta Davis is the name and the brand in all of boxing right now. And he was taken into custody yesterday following a court hearing. He was transported to Baltimore City Central Booking Intake Facility. And he has been serving a 90-day house arrest sentence at the home of his trainer. It goes back to last month, where he pled guilty to four counts stemming from a hit-and-run crash that happened in November 2020. He actually hit a woman that was pregnant and left the scene. So his attorney told a bunch of outlets in Baltimore that he was taken into custody during an impromptu hearing late yesterday evening. I don't know. The whole thing seems a little bit strange to me. He was facing a misdemeanor domestic violence charge of battery causing bodily harm. He's been in trouble after trouble. So he's 29-0, Scotty. He's got 27 knockouts. So 27 of his 29 fights, and he's undefeated, 27 end in knockout. He's a fantastic fighter. Insane foot movement, very twitchy, and knocked out Ryan Garcia just a couple weeks ago. He's everything in boxing, but how do you support a guy like this?
Yeah.
Domestic violence issue, hit and run issues. You got all these issues, and people are like, "Oh, did you watch his fight? Did you watch him fight?" And I'm like, and I get pulled into so many of these things. I fall back into the John Jones thing, and I'm supporting a guy that hit another guy that hit a pregnant woman and left the scene.
All right, so I'm painting with a broad brush here. So if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Does it seem like boxing and UFC, at least recently, the characters gravitate more to this than other sports?
The characters, the fans?
No, I'm talking about talking about athletes behaving badly.
Yes. Yeah, but I actually think that it's intertwined with the sports.
Okay, that was my question.
Yeah, it's intertwined.
Yeah.
Because you don't have a lot of sensible people that have a lot going for them that start into these sports. A lot of these sports are, hey, let's get them off the street. Let's find a way to use their aggression for the better. Let's find a way to bottle up all that passion, put it in a ring or put it in a cage. And a lot of these guys have zero fear of life. They don't care if they live or they die tomorrow. They don't care if they're in a prison cell or they're in a mansion. They don't grasp the day-to-day concepts of being a good human. And again, that's a broad brush.
Yeah,
but it's going to these guys that I'm talking about specifically.
I don't think Conor McGregor, when he throws a bench or whatever through a bus.
I think it was a dolly.
A dolly. Yeah, right. When he throws a dolly into a bus, he's not thinking about his brand. He's not thinking about being a good guy. There's just so much rage pent up there.
Yep.
For whatever reason, even though he's enjoyed the highest of success.
Yep.
In his individual sport, doesn't care about losing it all because he never had anything to begin with. And so when it all goes away, it doesn't bother him that much.
Yep. And the only way he knows it to deal with those situations is aggression. When he's in a bar and they're sampling out his new whiskey, and a 60-plus-year-old patron doesn't want to take a shot of his whiskey, and so he knocks him out. That is a weird end of humanity that you just don't deal with very often. But these high-end fighters, Floyd Mayweather is a despicable human being. He's despicable. Yet we see NBA teams parade him around, put him on front seat rows, act like he's all everything. You got the TMT, you got the whole display. And you're like, so the guy can knock some guys out and he can get away with abusing women?
Because he turns around and can sell pay-per-view tickets at $60 a pop or $100 a pop.
It's so bonkers. And, you know, for a while I was doing the in-cage calls for mixed martial arts, and there are some amazingly grounded human beings in the world of fighting. We need to make that really clear. Travis Marks is one of the most incredible people that I've ever met. He was a really great fighter. There's five or six other guys that would come to mind, local fighters that are great people. So I want people to understand that there are still good people in that world. But it seems like the higher-end guys,
yeah,
the best of the best, they've got nothing to lose in life. I think you said it really well. I came for nothing, so if I go back to nothing, who cares?
Yeah,
I'll go back with more than I had when I came. And no, I don't support Jamonta Davis. Yeah. I don't.
All right,
as much as I like that sport.
Good, Bad, the Ugly coming up next. Whole world news straight ahead right here on The Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz.
Does Miami have a real chance to win the title?
So I do think they do have a real chance, and I'm not quite sure why we're selling them short. They just won the East. I think Denver wins because Denver's better, but I do think it's worth kind of looking at both these teams and saying, all right, wait a sec. Miami went to the finals. They lost in the first round to the eventual champion. They lost in an Eastern Conference Finals on a buzzer beater, and they went back to the finals. That's their last 4 years since they got Jimmy Butler. Like, that's kind of the natural way this thing's supposed to work. If you look at Denver, like, if you just look at their progression, they knocked on the playoff door, won a playoff series, won two playoff series, won three playoff series. It's a very natural, it's actually old school, which I think is really interesting. As much as the NBA is so dramatically different and the parity's more and there's nobody who's dominant, we're still kind of following the same script.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Go.
It's time to span the globe for the hard-hitting news you care about. Well, not really. But hey, at least we found it interesting. This is Whole World News on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hey, remember, the National Hockey League is kicking off the upcoming season right here in Utah. Don't miss Frozen Fury as the San Jose Sharks take on the LA Kings at Delta Center October 5th. Tickets at lakings.com/Frozen Fury. It's all in association with the Utah Sports Commission.
All right, Scotty, we go to upstate New York for Whole World News today. It's called the Village of Manilis. It's a little area in upstate New York. It's very cozy. It's very family-oriented. And they've got this gigantic pond in the middle of this village. And in this pond has been a family of swans that has kind of owned that area for quite some time. Well, the swan that was named Faye went missing.
Yeah.
And they went on a goose chase. No, a manhunt,
yeah,
a swan chase to try to find the swan Faye.
Yeah,
they couldn't find Faye anywhere, so they end up trailing. They found a clue that this kid knew something about Faye, so they went to this convenience store. They found the kid and they said, "Where's Faye?"
Oh boy!
And the kid said, "Let me tell you a story about a hungry family in upstate New York." Turns out that three teenagers harvested Faye, took Faye to the aunt. I guess the aunt whipped up some pretty darn good swan, and they ate it.
Threw it on the old smoker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Daddy, I want a golden goose!
They ended up eating the swan. Now, here in Utah, you know, you go take one of these Canadian geese off a golf course that leaves the poop all over the greens, and nobody bats an eye. In New York, Scotty, it is illegal to hunt swans. So The 16 and 17-year-old, they were released to their parents because they're juveniles. The 18-year-old, he is awaiting arraignment.
Oh, boy.
He's in a lot of trouble. You can't just go killing swans named Faye and eating them. Not in upstate.
Any detail on that story about the quality of
the meal? The
meat? Yeah.
No detail on the meal.
Chicken, a little bit more. It's more like pheasant, a little bit more.
You've had goose. You've had duck.
Yeah, yeah.
My guess is swan's probably right there in that family. It's a little bit darker meat and a little bit greasier than chicken.
That's what I would anticipate, yeah.
And if it's an old swan that's been kicking around in that muck for some time in upstate New York.
A little gamey.
You know you're basically drinking mud.
Yeah.
It probably tastes like you're eating kava.
Yeah. I would. Yeah, I think Faye had a few miles. I don't know how good that's going to be.
No, it's not going to be good. Not going to be good at all.
Yeah.
But this kid is in a lot of trouble. You can't kill geese.
So moral of the story is, if you're going to kill and eat a goose, be under 18.
Be a juvenile.
Okay.
I'm still waiting to
hear.
What about
the mom who cooked the thing?
That's what I was going to say. I'm still waiting to hear if the aunt that ended up cooking
the
swan, if she's going to get in a little bit of trouble.
I mean, she didn't kill it, but she did prepare it.
She just cooked it, gutted it, feathered it, threw it in a baking pan, and hit it with some fricassee.
Fricassee? Sure. All right, we're live here at RGS Exteriors. Tim's hanging out with us as we are. Look, anything you need on the outside of your home, these guys are going to help make it happen, whether it's rain gutters, whether it's I tell you what, you know, Hardy's has been we've been doing these for, you know, 4 or 5 years now. Hardy's always been
it hasn't really changed much.
And nobody's knocking them off their perch, are they?
Not yet.
What makes it so?
No, I think the reason why James Hardy's so good is, like we talked earlier, it's made and specifically designed for our climate, right? So number one. And the second thing is that it's so durable. And then you can paint it any color you want. They can come paint it. You can paint it colors. So it's really your opportunities are limitless, and you have so many opportunities to do. And so I think it just gives you options. And then it's trendy.
Yeah.
You know, in Utah, we like to keep up with the Joneses. So.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
How many people are calling because they've got damage from the winter? Because you just talked about having one of your best months you've ever had.
Yeah, and I think it's part of it's from that, but most of it, truthfully, is just that people are wanting to update their home and they just don't want to go lock in a new house at a 6% interest rate, right? I mean, let's just be real. That's a huge difference. Your buying power changes dramatically with 1 or 2 points on your interest rate. So I think that's really why the majority of people are doing stuff now.
If you're out there and you've dealt with stucco and you're sick of that cracked stucco because stucco just, I think it's going away.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Look, we do it, and I hope so.
I think stucco's
but you
going
don't,
away.
I mean, you don't have anybody that is like, you know what we really need to do and we want to do is stucco.
You know what? Believe it or not, more than you think.
Really?
And EFIS is another type of stucco we don't really talk about, but it's a foam back system, and so it'll expand and contract much greater. You don't get as many cracks with that. It's a really good product, but it's way more than Hardy. And people still want it. And so they'll spend the money on a more expensive stucco product than Hardy because they want that look. So it kind of just depends on what you're after and what you're focused on. But if it were my druthers, I'd get rid of stucco completely.
Get rid of that stucco. Just call RGS. Have them come out. What's great is they can take a picture of your home, and they put it in their software, and they can actually add the Hardy, or they can add stone, or add a column or two, or even change a position of a window. Whatever you want, they can remodel that so you can see what it looks like and you can see it in really clear detail.
You know, it helps. Just like we've talked, kind of the theme of the day today is that we want to take that fear away from a homeowner. And if we can do that and we can give you a good rendering of what it's going to look like, it sure helps make a decision.
All starts with a quick phone call, 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110. The great Gary Anderson's hanging out with us next right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right, yeah!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Show.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We're live here at RGS, and look who is here. The man himself, Gary Anderson, kind enough to hang out with us. Coach, how are you? You hear me all right?
Nope.
All right, let's.
We're going to take care of that.
How about now? Any better?
Doing fantastic now.
All right.
Can you hear it okay?
Get me worried for a minute.
Yeah. Are you going deaf, Coach? You had headsets on.
You never know. You wake up every day and hope everything's okay.
Most stuff are working all right.
That still works. There we go.
Let's go.
I got to tell you, man. Coach, I laugh every time I think, man, I'm like, so, you know, now it's time for Coach Anderson to just be able to enjoy life. And he's got grandkids all over the place and traveling, and you've coached your whole life. And then I'm talking to Scotty one day, and he's like, yeah, he's starting up the big collective. It's how much of your time is that going to occupy?
I don't know yet, but it's fun. You know, we started, I just became enamored with the whole NIL thing and the transfer portal and the collectives, and 4 or 5 months ago, just looking at it and understanding it, and then trying to understand the levels of what it is in Power Five and what it is in, you know, the Mountain West or wherever it goes. And, Jim Lobb and myself sat down, discussed it 3 or 4 times, and, you know, Jim wanted to be able to make sure that we can take a step forward with Utah State, which is so needed right now. We have to, you know, our collective is a little different. It's not about having a quarterback making $1.5 million and the center snapping the ball to him and getting a you know, scholarship check. That's not. I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
So if I was that center, I'd be asking that quarterback for a lot of meals, right?
Yeah.
So ours really is designed around giving young men a better opportunity, young women a better opportunity to the simple things in college. Maybe they eat a little bit better. Maybe they have a car payment that they can make a little bit better. Whatever it may be down those lines to better their situation in college, not necessarily make it be that, you know, this might be their top earning power that they have in their life. That's not what we're looking for. So it's exciting to be in the middle of it. I get an opportunity to help student athletes, and I get to branch out to other sports, which I'm excited about. You know, I've talked to the basketball guys, you know, get into that situation and understand the basketball side, talking to other teams, other coaches, other places. I'm going to get into, you know, to the women's sports. And so it's exciting for me. How much time it takes, I don't know. Probably not as much as Stacy wishes it would take up. So
is this where this comes from?
Yeah.
Like, Mama said
you
it's
gotta
time.
You got to be doing something.
It's time for you to grow up.
Well, there is those days when the grandkids are going and I'm, you know, I'm trying to learn my way, and she likes I make good decisions and I help out as much as I possibly can, but sometimes I have to be coached up. And there's other times when she basically does tell me that, you know what, go take the Jeep for a ride. We'll see you in an hour or two. So, yeah.
Have you gone through and researched a lot of the national collectives?
Yes, yes.
What type of separation are we looking at from maybe back east and the SEC or the Big Ten compared to what we're doing here in the West and the Mountain West Conference?
Well, I think the difference between the Power Five and the Group of Five is drastic. I mean, so if we just talk about the Power Five guys, talk about the Pac-12, you talk about, you know, I look back and I look at Utah's, I look at USC's, I look at Oregon's. Those are the ones I really looked at the most in the Pac-12. And I studied a lot of Alabama. I loved Ohio State's. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. I'm talking about websites right now because that's where I really gained my knowledge, and then dug into it from there with just people that I knew that were involved, and started calling them and just saying, okay, how does this work? Where do we get this information? How would we get it started if we were to start it? But it's there's just take football, for instance. There's so many different ways to skin a cat when you get into it. Some teams will take the whole team and give them this amount of money. Other teams will say, okay, we're going to take our top 40, 50 kids and we're going to cut it at that, and they're going to get this amount of money and break it down much like an NFL team. I mean, there's teams that have, you know, you look at NFL teams and sometimes Mahomes is what, 14% probably somewhere around there of their salary cap. Well, there's football teams that 14% of their cap is in Power Five football is with the quarterback, and then it'll go down to the left tackle, right? I mean, you told me your boy expects $1 million collective in 2 years, so I mean, I've already got my work cut out for me. So, but no, they really go through and break it down however they want to, what's best for them. Some will tie, you know, freshman get this, sophomore get that, junior get this, senior get this. So there's so many different ways to do it. If you look at basketball, And this is my take on it and my study. So if there's an expert out there that knows better, feel free to let me know that I'm wrong here. But in at least within the structure of the Mountain West and that level, basketball is much more complicated just because the money may be the same or even more for a basketball program than it is for a football program in the Mountain West. And if in my research, I believe that there's four or five teams in basketball in the Mountain West that are over $1 million. That's amazing. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that's huge.
That's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
So,
just have a Mountain West team run to the national championship game.
And another one that's over around 600 or more. So, you know, you sit back and you look at the need. And again, we really broke this thing down to say, okay, if we are going, it's a collective. And yes, in the end of the day, you are going to pay players. But when we pay the players, we're tying the players to, these charities that we have, the events we have, the high schools, the elementary schools, the middle schools, but a lot. So we got Tyler Larson, for instance, him and his wife. You know, Sam was an athlete. Tyler was an athlete. Tyler's still playing. You know, autism is going to be their charity that they want to tie to. And so our kids are going to go and be involved with autism. How we get that done completely, where we go right now in Logan and in Salt Lake, and in where we got to go. We got to go to Bountiful, wherever we're going to get involved in that program. Our student athletes will be highly involved with autism because that's what Tyler wants to be, and he's going to be on our advisory board. So Robert Turbin is going to be on there, what he wants to be. Sam Merrill's going to be on there. So Sam Merrill's on there, and Sam, what does he want to tie, if he wants to tie to a charity? And that's a big part of what we do, because our kids are going to, you know, give back, and they're going to learn from that. They're going to learn, you know, a lot of times I sit and one of my pet peeves is these kids, they sit on their phones 24/7. That's how they communicate. Well, I want them to communicate with people. I want them to be uncomfortable. I want them to be around situations that make them feel good when they walk out the door and say, you know what, I just got a little bit better today as a person. So that's our mindset of a collective. It makes me just feel really good about it when I know, yes, we can help young men, we can help young women, but we're also helping our community, and we're branching out to these charities to do good.
So I think there's a lot of confusion out there in terms of, by the letter of the law, the university can't be involved, correct?
Correct, yes.
So what is the communication like? How do you work with them without them being involved? How does that process go?
Well, that's where it gets extremely complicated, and we still are actually working through that because we have not made any, you know, we haven't got to the point to where we're ready to pay anybody yet. We're still got a website set up, and we'll be in that process in the fall. So to me, that's me sitting down and communicating with the administration, completely understanding the rules that are tied up, what they expect, how they expect it. And we've had a couple of those discussions basically to start out to say, okay, here's what we're doing, how we're going to go about it, and here's what we expect. So, you know, there has to be a line that gets to you that lets you know that this young man is potentially a recruit that's going to be there. But the great part that I like, again, is the retention model, right?
Yeah,
to me, especially at a Utah State, the retention model is huge. They're going to go play Iowa, and they're going to go play, you know, they're going to whoever else they play non-season, that's the big one, non-conference, right?
Isn't it? Like, they got UConn year? And James Madison.
Yeah, so UConn, James Madison. But, you know, Iowa's the big one. Just for instance, just say they got a guy that plays great at Iowa and a defensive end gets 3 sacks at Iowa, and they come back in and maybe they want to get him next year, right? And the kid goes in the portal and he's played against Iowa and they love him, or they see film and the Big Ten gets to see every game. They're going to watch the first 6 games of the year, so they're going to watch those teams play Iowa all the way through, right? So they're going to have a lot of eyes on Utah State that wouldn't have been there. So maybe you have an opportunity to retain a young man in your program that's a really good player that maybe won't ever jump in the portal because you can help him, or maybe he will jump in the portal anyway, but you can still help him. So that's the retention piece is just as important to me as the recruiting piece.
In fact, I think, you know, look, I remember when you got that program going and, you know, it had been really struggling for a lot of years, and you get it going. And I remember going to a lot of games and covering Utah State. And I look in the stands and I see these 16 jerseys everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, Chucky Keaton probably deserves a good cut of those jerseys because he's the face of the team. He's turned it around, and he deserves every dollar that should be going his way. And so I'm all about helping kids that
have there and grown and developed and are helping the program, those guys deserve all the money, in my opinion. I have a hard time with, well, you know, here's a high school kid that's going to be really good who hasn't proven anything
Correct.
At the collegiate level.
Yes.
But I guess it doesn't matter because you have to be in those, you have to be in that sandbox and make that work.
Yep. Well, I trust me, I was the first one long ago when this started. I mean, I remember, you know, I have a tendency to flap my mouth sometimes every once in a while.
Never.
Like, kind of like Hans does a little bit. But I did not like either one of them. I wasn't in favor of the transfer portal in any way, shape, or form, and I wasn't in form of, you know, the whole collective deal, name, image, likeness, paying players, basically. The name, image, likeness is awesome for me, but the whole pay, you know, that just, for me, that worries me. But now it doesn't, because it's here, and you have to. You do not have a choice. If Utah State does not, you know, we've sat stagnant in the water for a minute now on this stuff, and if we continue to do it, what's going to happen is you're going to end up being in the Big Sky. I mean, that's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And we can all say whatever we want, but that's what's going to happen, because the progression of this whole thing, you know, the what-ifs are out there. So what if all of a sudden Oregon goes, Washington goes, then maybe Utah follows and Colorado falls and Arizona State goes and Arizona goes. Now what's left? Okay, there's Oregon State, there's Washington State, there's Cal, there's Stanford, whatever. And then there's who's going to play those guys, right?
Yeah.
So if you're at Utah State right now, you better be proactively thinking that if this does happen, we better be positioning ourselves to get into the conversation if that takes place. And I think if we're not doing that at Utah State right now, then we're making a huge mistake.
Yeah,
you have to be working that way.
Because I think you're either going forward or you're going back.
Correct.
But you're not going to
stagnant.
We're just going to do what we've been doing, and we're going to be fine.
There's no doubt. No doubt. Because we know that that environment is going to change at some point, right? I mean, I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it might be 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. But
or might be next month.
It might be. Yeah. So we have to be able to get that done, because it's going to be Boise. It's going to be Air Force. It's going to be Wyoming. It's going to be Colorado State. It's going to be New Mexico. We're all going to be fighting for maybe three or four spots. And so, man, I sure would think we'd look to get in the mix.
So, Coach, in a two-part question, in an effort to combat the pay for play, because as Scotty mentioned, there is, you can't do the pay for play.
Correct.
Is that where the charitable responsibilities come in? Is that how you get away from the pay to play?
Yes.
And secondly, who fills the collective? Where does the money come from for the collective?
Okay. Well, first of all, the kids will have a contract, right? And everybody basically has a contract. And trust me, I've got a bunch of them. There's a lot of contracts out there for these NIL situations, these scenarios for the kids. Some of them are very complex. Some of them are not so complex. But we'll definitely have a contract where the young men will tie them to different things. And I think it's important to tie them to help your school at the end with the graduation situation so you don't lose your APR points, that you get a little bit of a bonus if you get that done the right way, right? But as far as the charities go and where you go out and who you tie yourself with the nonprofit tag, it gives you the opportunity to, again, get out to what's important in your community, right? And that's that we can go out and be highly involved. And our kids will love to do it. I mean, we used to do Beyond Football. That's what we did in Beyond Football forever. Beyond Football was basically socially and academically helping you grow as a young man in a football program. We're doing nothing different with the collective, except we're helping young men and young women grow as they go through their time in college. Where does the money come from? The money comes from donors, and that's people that are interested in companies, businesses, individuals that are interested in helping these kids. And, you know, again, I look back and I say a lot of people look at that and say, well, I was talking to a former Utah player yesterday, and coaching for a long time, been very successful right now. He's doing a great job in life. And he's like, Coach, that's just hard for me. I can't wrap my arms around what you're going to pay kids for playing football and they're already getting a scholarship. And I get it. I understand all that. And in my head, I understand it. But now I've come to terms and I've chosen to say, you know what, this is the environment we're in. We have to deal with it and look at it and change your mindset a little bit, that it's an opportunity that you didn't have, but it's an opportunity that somebody else has. So don't punish them or don't hate on the system, because that's what college football is right now, mm-hmm. right? And you have to be able to adapt and choose to go down this lane. If you don't, then be a fan for a really bad team. Yeah. I guess that's what I would say next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I love the fact
that's the option.
I love the fact you got Jim and Eric Laub involved because, frankly, you talk about the Big Sky. If Jim Laub wasn't around and as generous as he was, this team probably already is in the Big Sky.
There's conference. No doubt. What Jim Laub does, and anybody that knows Jim and follows Jim in any way, shape, or form, and his family and Carol, what amazing people and what their ability to be able to care for others and what they do for people. 99% of it, I would say, probably goes unnoticed, and that's the way Jim and Carol would both like it to be. But, you know, us that get to be a little bit closer to him and be around him a little bit understand that those life-changing moments for him that he can be allowed to help people with, whatever it is, means the world to him.
Coach, how much is this new world forcing these young football players to be adults? And that might come across as a little bit critical, but I just go back to my college playing days. Everything was taken care of. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to worry about anything. No insurance, no taxes, none of that stuff.
Yep.
Is this forcing these kids to have agents and have accountants and have all of this world that they have to pay around them to make sure that all their affairs are in order?
I hope in our world, at our level, where we're dealing with this collective, is we can teach them those things. We can teach them about money management. We can teach them about taxes. We can teach them about, you know, do I think that a kid needs an agent in our situation? Absolutely not. No way, shape, or form. Now, if you're looking at a young man that, you know, makes $1 million, then probably, because, and I worry about that more than anything, because that kid, a lot of them that might be the highest earning power that they have in 1 year in their life.
Yeah.
And it might happen when they're a senior in college. Yeah. I mean, making over $1 million, then they got a scholarship check on top of that. And then they've got, you know, free school, free meals and egg white omelets and whatever they want every single day, three meals a day and all that. That's they're living in, you know, paradise right there a little bit. Now all of a sudden that's going to change. I worry about that transformation. And then there's going to be nobody there to help them at that point, because then they'll be on their own, right? It's going to be them and maybe their wife and their kids, and it's going to be like, man, I married you. You were $1 million and you're quarterback and everybody liked you and everything else. And
what's this letter from
now,
the IRS?
Now you're working and you're making $100,000 a year. You're a bum. I mean, I can just, that's not good, right? I mean,
that's my life.
Because that's, I'm saying that's a lot of money for a lot of people, right?
Oh, yeah.
But it might not be for, you know, Julie, who all of a sudden married the guy when he was 21 years old and he made $1 million.
Got in a G-Wagon when she was at 18.
That's a life changer.
Yeah.
So I don't think we'll have those dilemmas and those problems on our side, but I will, at the higher levels, absolutely, in the Power Five, I can see that being in the discussion.
From a football standpoint, how quick do you think you can get Utah State to the top of the conference or near the top of the conference as far as collectives go?
Well, we wouldn't do it if we weren't going to be in the top third, period. I mean, that's when you sat down and talked with Jim, and that was always my philosophy. With any time I dealt with an athletic director or was, if you want us to win and be where we need to be, we need to be in the top third. And if you're not in the top third, then, in my opinion, don't ask them to win, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think the collectives have been a real problem until this year. I just, at least what I saw with Utah State, and I think it started to really implode throughout the country just this last year, and it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. There was so much people learning about it and kids feeling the water and figuring it out, and you didn't have the mass exodus like you've had. I mean, you look at Utah State basketball team, and it's really hard to look at them and what these new coaches are going to have to go through. And again, whether right, wrong, or different. But for us, we're going to be in the top third, and we're going to be in the top third this fall. That's our plan, and that's where we're going to be, in both football and basketball, and we're going to work with the other sports to get started where we need to be quickly there. So that's important for us to be able to touch the other sports also.
Well, and I also think, too, that a lot of people look at it and they think of, you know, you got your big fish like Jim Laub, and you know, there's a few wells at Utah State, but, you know, you talk about, you know, Joe Schmuckatelli making $80,000 that loves his school.
Won it.
Can kick $100 a month, you know, and even that makes a huge difference.
Yes, and that's the I want to be able to really, we'll have levels within our structure on our website when it comes out, and I want it to be, even if it's $20 a month, that's fantastic, and it all makes a difference. Yes, and that's easiest. That's to sit back and say, we always say that, right? But it does make a difference. Number one, but number two, more importantly than that, to me, is it's getting people engaged. And I sit back and I'm a little bit on the I'm a little bit up on the soapbox today, but I would expect that, you know, we need to get that stadium at Utah State full, right?
Yep.
I mean, it needs to be, and it's not. So it's, I look back when I played at Utah, and it wasn't quite, it was starting to get there, and you just saw it build and build and build. And as I coached there for whatever it was, 12, 13 years, I saw it build and build and build. Well, now University of Utah football, it's an event. There's, it doesn't matter, really. It matters if they win or lose. But for a lot of people in the tailgate, they're going to come because it's a party.
Yeah.
So now we got a party for 6 days a year that they're buying those tickets and they're guaranteed to do it. The Jazz are a lot like that too, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's an event to go to a Jazz game.
Yeah.
And it needs to be an event to go to a Utah State football game. We need to get it full. We need to create it. And I think every time somebody gives $20 a month, maybe there's a little bit more, hey, I want to go to this game. I'm a little bit more into it, right? It's important.
So I can't wait to hear some of the stories where you – at some point butt up against the university. I'm just going to set the scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Cache Valley Cheese comes to you,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, we've been paying $350,000 a year to be on a billboard mm-hmm. in that stadium. We want to now take those funds and put it into the collective.
Yep.
Do you get a call from the university that says, hey, Coach Anderson, thanks for what you're doing, but yeah. no thanks.
Yes. No, So I would expect those conversations to happen without a doubt, right? And I know they've happened in some communications with different athletic directors that I've talked with, different people, associate athletic directors. Some schools say, we don't care. The money's the money. If you're going to get it in the collective, you can get it in the collective. If they were giving to the university athletic department, now they're giving it to the collective, then that's awesome. Other people are saying, yep, that's a big problem.
That's a big problem.
Yeah, it's a big problem. And it's what the people that are saying that it's okay are the people that, you know, they've got those TV
yeah.
deals
yeah.
that are like, whoa, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's intense. Now, at Utah State, that is definitely a major factor. I will say this. I believe that the money that we're going to be able to go out and raise is not to an extreme to where we sit back and say it's going to hurt the university, right? Because we all want to be able to continue to move in the right direction with feeding the kids, taking care of the kids, getting the facilities that they need to be. And that journey I talked about earlier of trying to prepare ourselves for what step may be coming or just make us better in the Mountain West. So, those conversations will come, and I think that's why it has to come with an open mind. This thing changes every day. I mean, you guys could talk about it for 20 minutes
sure.
every single day because sure. something different happens, and we're learning.
Is there – I mean, obviously, Pandora's – the box is open. There's no going back.
Yep.
But even Nick Saban saying, you know, is pleading with Congress to put some guardrails. Yeah. Is there anything that you've seen that could realistically happen that could – manage this a little bit more, or is it always going to be the old Wild West?
Well, I think that it'll be managed at the Power 5 level, and I think that will not change our structure of what we're going to create and what we're doing at all, because we're not extremists in this thing. You know, the extremists are, they're being the extremists, and they're what we've talked about again is that it's a true, you go pull it up on the and Google it and find the breakdown of the NFL teams on what they pay and how they pay, right? And it starts with the quarterback and it ends with the special teams guys. And it's broke down 15%, 10%, and it goes to left tackle, it goes to this. Those guys are getting paid a ton of money in college football. I mean, really getting paid a lot of money at most schools. There's a lot more money in the collective yeah. when you believe. So, but I think when it does become a little bit contained, that it won't be, it'll be a little bit more like what our style is, what we're trying to do. That's my belief.
Yeah.
And I don't, that other stuff doesn't interest me. I would be fascinated to sit down with coaches and sit around and talk and say, hey, how do you control this locker room with that going on, with those kids making that payments, the money, this guy's getting this, this guy's getting zero.
Tough.
It's insanity.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's tough.
It would be really hard, right? So
I bring this up because it's something I could see you having done when you were head coach at the college ranks. If I was an up-and-coming coach and I got a five-year, $50 million deal,
mm-hmm.
I would take $4 or $5 million of my yearly salary and I'd put it into the collective and I'd find the best recruiters, the guys that can identify the talent, and I'd use my own money. To go out there and find the best talent, get my players paid.
Yeah.
Now I would keep it to my football team and my players, but can coaches put their own money into collectives?
Well, you know me good enough. I'm not the right guy to talk to about money sometimes.
That's why I thought about it, because I'm like, I know what Coach Anderson would be doing.
I'm not that stubborn, stingy guy when it comes to money, I suppose. I guess that would be a nice way to put it. So some people call me an idiot. That's fine.
not to your face.
That's interesting. Like you said, it's the Wild Wild West. Who knows? That would be one way to be able to flip it up and say, hey, we can do this. And it would be a nice gesture. It would be really cool to put it back in there and let the kids go get it. I'm sure it was going to happen eventually anyway, all of the transfer portal and the NIL, just the way that the world was going, which is fine. It's good, and we've all adapted to it, and we move on. But I think a lot of the push, and it came sooner than later because of what you just said. What coaches are making.
I think
it flipped the script. And at some point, I mean, how many times? Because it started 3 or 4 years ago. You started to hear even the guys on ESPN, the former players and stuff, are saying, like, man, this is garbage. This coach is making, whatever, $5 million, and these players are still getting a scholarship check? That's wrong. You know, something's got to happen. Something's got to tweak. And then it got momentum, and here we sit today.
100%.
And so the
coaching conversation has been the biggest misdirection of all of it. It's mm-hmm. – Well, coaches can leave it anytime.
They can leave it anytime they want. And coaches they can make $10 million. Yeah. Yep.
And that's what I think has been the catalyst for all of it.
I agree. And it's a valid point. When you sit back and you look at it as a student athlete, you can't sit back and make an argument. Well, that's just that there's no argument to that. That's stupid. The coaches should be able to do what they want and the kids can't. That's not right. I mean, it's just you can. Some people say, well, we're tied to the school and we're this and we're that. But it all flipped. And it flipped for. I think the right reasons where we sit today is it hard? It's difficult, right? It's hard to be a developmental program right now because you develop them for 2 years, and hell, you might lose 10 of them, right? If I look back and I look at the team at Utah State, the championship team, I looked at that team, I would have taken those guys and drove them to, I don't know, somewhere in the Grand Canyon and build a great big giant farm for them and lock them up there for the whole year, not let them go and take everything away from them, so they had to stay.
Because
you stay here till next August.
Because Wagner's getting a call.
Yeah. Heck,
Turbin's getting a call. All those.
We're going to eat really good. We're going to hang out here. We got a weight room for you and a jacuzzi, and we're going to do this and stay here. Don't
Coach, can I have my phone?
No, you can't. Talk to nobody. You get to talk to your mom and dad once a week.
See, that's why you talked about the retention program that you're putting in. I look at that, and maybe Vong Pachon's still there.
Yeah.
Maybe Ashworth's still there.
Yeah.
If you've got those retention programs.
Yes.
That's got to be what that's.
And that's one of the biggest challenges, I think, for the coaches, is to be able to create an environment where you have open discussions with that, right? I mean, well, as coaches, we always used to talk about, hey, come to us in good, come to us in bad. Well, now you got to come to us in a situation where you just basically say, Coach, I'm going to throw my name in the transfer portal. Because me, again, when that happened to me the first time, I was like, oh, if you get in the transfer portal, then you're done. You're out of here. See you later.
Yeah.
And that was my stance.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I got beat up pretty good on that day, too, when I said that by the media.
But every other coach was saying it, but they weren't saying it publicly.
Yes. Yeah. And now you can't say that. I mean, that can't be your stance now.
Yeah.
You won't succeed. You have zero chance, right? I mean, you can't just say, okay, I'll go get in the portal right now. And that's kind of when the conversations have to start to take place, and you have to look around and say, okay, here's our plan when a kid goes in the portal for our football team. And whatever that is, you stick to that plan, and then you help educate the kid at that point. But like you say, if you have a retention plan or within a collective or wherever it's going to be, then – you know, that makes it nice. And there's been some people in Cache Valley that have done a great job of helping some kids last year.
Yep.
They did. And because you would have lost 3 or 4 more. I promise you would have. But you didn't, because some great people, and I won't name them because they probably wouldn't be named again, but they helped these young men be able to stay on the football team, and they ended up staying. And it's nothing extravagant, but it's helping them move forward.
There's an ugly end to this, and Scotty and I have talked about it, and that is there's some kids that nowadays, and I know this would have been hard for you, you're going to have to go to a lot of kids and say you're done.
Yeah.
Pack your stuff, you're done.
That's the hard part, right?
There's kids that are you're not only are you not getting some of the collective, you're not getting a scholarship check. You can stay here, do your schooling, but do it over there.
Yep.
That's an ugly part of this.
It is. It is a real ugly part of it. And the other potentially not really ugly part of it, but you know, these collectives can now at a Power Five school this is happening at times also, is they'll go and they'll have really get 85 scholarships. Well, really, they have 95 scholarships because
walk-ons.
They've got 10 scholarships within the collective that are walk-ons.
Yeah.
So the collective is going in and saying, well, it's just like you get the same scholarship that Johnny has, but you're a walk-on because I'm paying for your school and you know the university's not paying for your school.
Yeah.
So you might have 95, 100 kids on scholarship now, which absolutely crushes Mountain West, Big Sky, right? It just beats them up because the talent level just goes down and down and down. And now we're asking those kids again to go play against these teams with 100 scholarships once or twice a year, right? And you know, Weber's going to Utah this year, whatever it's going to be. And I'm not saying Utah's doing that, but I'm saying that you know it just becomes a little bit, the barrier gets a little bit bigger, right? Wherever you go, Utah State's going to Iowa. You know, do they have? I doubt they're doing it too at Iowa, but I know some teams are out there doing that stuff, and it's not illegal. There's nothing illegal about it. That's how they choose to use their collective. So it's crazy.
Yeah.
That's why I told you it's. You know, I was infatuated with it, and I just started studying it and reading it.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. You good to hang out for another segment?
Sure.
All right, let's do it. Gary Anderson's hanging out with us. We're also live here at RGS. Tim, who runs the ship down here. Five generations, man.
Yes, yeah,
this means
I'm old, bro.
No.
Well, it just means like, you know, if you weren't running things and you weren't treating people well, you guys have been out of business a long time ago.
He said he doesn't work anymore.
Turn that on.
There we go.
But he said he only hardly ever comes to work unless you guys are here.
Well, I work just from home, but the problem is I was talking to Coach.
Okay, I'm taking these off now.
The home office.
Coach is going to get me in trouble here. No, but look, totally joking aside, I mean, obviously listeners know this about me. I'm at, you know, my passions, right? Coaching football and wrestling. And so if I'm able to have a good team to be able to manage and run that, then yeah, certainly I try to do that. But we try to do our best, and the fact that I am a fourth of five generation of my kids are all the fifth generation, it's kind of cool to be in that family business for that long and to just do what we've done for as long as we have. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, no doubt.
I've loved just watching the overall process. For the listeners out there, RGS came out and did the entire project for my parents' house, from the stone to the hardy to the gutters, the soffit and fascia. And I got to go walk through this entire process. You know, my favorite thing, well, there's two of my favorite things. I talked about one, having all the projections of what it's going to look like in a computer, being able to see what the house will look like. But number two, the follow-up was great. And that's something you're not going to get with every business. If I had any questions, it was a constant follow-up. You know, you were just talking about the flashing. I had a gutter issue off of a back deck that I needed some help with. And it was, hey, let us get our guys out there. We'll get it taken care of. It was the follow-up that made it so great. And so, I think so individual for RGS.
You're right, and I appreciate you recognizing that because it's something that really kind of separates us from everybody else and that we push so hard on, and that is to constantly communicate with our customers. We have some texting software that we use so that we can constantly text our customers. They can text us in real time, whether it's a phone call or it's an email, however it is that the customer likes to be communicated with, they're going to know exactly where they're at on their project, right? And as we continue to get throughout the busier time of the year and we get a little bit bigger of a backlog, it's important to have that conversation so that they know where they're at on the schedule. And then, like you said, if you have a question or if there's a problem, you know who to talk to, you call, they answer their phone. I mean, all these things seem obvious. But for whatever reason, in our world, in the construction world, that's not obvious.
No, it's not.
And it shouldn't be. It's sad.
But it's not. That's why you got to have the right business. There's so many contractors that just won't return. They won't return for a checkup. They won't return for an update. None of it.
Well, I even say on the front end, too. I've worked with some people, and it takes forever to get a bid back.
Yeah, and you know, it's just sad. It's the problem is, if I'm being totally transparent, I think the problem is that you've got a lot of these guys are chucking the trucks, like we call them. They've been a really good installer or whatever they do. They're really good. And then they decide to start their own company. Well, running a business is completely different than being a really good installer or a really good craftsman. And you know, kind of joking aside, but going back to Coach's point earlier, is that I feel like I'm a very good businessman, and I happen to be a contractor. And so by me running the company and organizing the company correctly and having managers do their particular jobs, we're able to be an efficient, well-oiled machine. And then thus, we can run a good contracting company.
Call right now. Get on the books. Let's go. 801-280-3110. You need some work on the outside of your home, big or small? RGS is here to help you out. 801-280-3110. It's all right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Wherever you go, the Zone will be right there with you every step of the way. It's the all-new KSL Sports Zone.
I love it.
Where you can listen to the Zone wherever you may be.
Listen to me, this stuff is available everywhere.
It's your new home for streaming the Zone and getting all the latest news, insight, and analysis of the teams you can't live without. It's the all-new KSL Sports app. Available now wherever you shop for apps.
When you look in the mirror, wish you were somebody else.
Just a Gotti, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Gary Anderson's hanging out with us again, running the Utah State, the Blue A Collective up at Utah State, as Utah State in the collective world. And, you know, the thing is, there's a lot of people out there, Gary, that are trying to do a lot of collectives. And let's be honest, when there's some opportunities out there, people are going to go in and say, like, I can make a buck or two. You guys aren't – you, Eric, you're not taking a cut on this thing at all.
No, there's no payment plan at all for the employees. So
I can't believe it, man. Because
it's a great opportunity to give back, and we're both fortunate. Eric's fortunate with what he's doing in the business, where he's working, and with Lob Electric, obviously, to have some time to be able to do it. And I'm in a position in life where I'm lucky, I'm blessed to be where I am, and it's time for me to be able to give back to Utah State for the school I love. And so it excites me, and I'm not looking for a paycheck. I'm looking to help kids.
Do you see a lot of sharks in this world, though? As you dive into this and you're calling, and are you seeing a lot of sharks?
Yeah. Well, I think, I don't know, what you can call them sharks. I'm going to say more, I see people looking at it as looking at the collectives as an opportunity, right? And that's okay. I mean, but I'm not in that spot. I'm not in the position where I say, hey, if I do something like this, I have to make money. I'm in a position to be able to say I want to help kids. And there's a lot of collectives out there that people, especially in the Power 5 level, I'm sure that those guys are taking a cut. Now, what that cut is, I don't know. What is it, 10%, 12%, 7%? I don't know that. But it's like an agent, right? Those kids are paying agents. And there's players now that those guys are making a lot of money. They're probably paying an agent 6%, 7% or whatever it is, too, as college football players. So you see those guys wanting to be agents and latch onto these guys. Now the value, now the information, that's where it scares me, right? Because the information is, this agent comes into these 10 guys on this team and say, hey, sign with me and I'll get you with these guys and do this. And it's like, you know, and then you mix it with kids coming out in the draft and it's like, oh my goodness.
I mean, you can lose a locker room as a coach just like that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's the management of that is something that, you know, I lay awake at night and think about now. It would keep me up every night, all night, I think, if I was still in a head coaching position, just managing that. And again, the good coaches and the great coaches will find a way to communicate it, talk it out, not hide from it. But it's still going to be a hard discussion when, you know, it's still college, right? And now it's almost like a pro locker room, I guess, if you will. I've never been in a pro locker room in that situation, so I don't know. But it's weird.
So, Coach, how do these collectives, do they get around Title IX? Do they navigate through Title IX? How does that work with these?
Great question. I don't have the answer to that at this point.
Because it's not affiliated with the university.
It's not. There's nothing to do with the university. Yeah. So I haven't come across with anybody even having any discussions with that. Because not most, but a lot of collectives are sports specific, right? I mean, they are definitely, this is for football. This is for basketball. University of Utah, I believe, has one for gymnastics, right? If I'm not mistaken. So.
And because it's not affiliated, there is not an equal distribution.
Has not been any problem with that. I haven't come across that. When we're talking to the lawyers and the people that I've talked to in the communication, That's not a problem.
So if I'm the women's basketball coach at the University of Utah, is it kind of on me to get, I mean, I can't go out and do it, but to find the collective for my girls?
Or find an ex-player or a fan or a booster that wants to latch themselves to women's basketball.
Yeah. Wow. The amount of work that's being done by coaches, that's – 2 years ago, that was not part of their job description.
Correct.
And now it kind of is. If you want to help try to develop some stuff, then you kind of have to lay the groundwork for somebody to kind of take up the mantle and run a collective for you.
Yes. Yeah, you absolutely have to. And it's like most coaches that are in it now that's basically saying, well, we have to do it. Not that we get to do it, we have to do it. But that's really what it is. I mean, whether you can say, I like it, I love it, I hate it, but you've got to understand you have to do it. So you've got to step up and be ready to move forward with this and then identify what you need to be as your collective, because the differences in collectives is gigantic. It's not even I mean, we could talk about it for 20 hours just on the different scales of how people break things down, how much money they have and what they do. That's why I like our level of collective.
Man, I this world, it'd be so difficult. We just watched this BYU story kick up with the Built Bar company, and it goes back to a couple of players that maybe didn't get their money and they wanted to be vocal about it, but the communication maybe not being exact on where the money is, but the money's been paid and the money will be paid later. Mm-hmm. And you get players that start stomping around and upset about it. That's where it really loses me.
Yeah.
Because the communication is going to be really difficult. There's going to be promises made. Sometimes those promises are going to fall through. How much do you whine and bicker about it? How much does it affect you as an athlete?
Yeah.
How much do you lose yourself as a coach? How much do you lose relationships mm-hmm. with somebody that was giving you, you know, $1.2 million, and the next thing you know, or they know, is their name is in a bad storyline?
Yeah.
I would be like, what?
No. Honestly, if I'm the owner of Built Bar and you've dumped $1.5 million and you've given these kids $1,000 checks,
extremely
and then
generous.
All of a sudden a kid didn't get $130 and he whines to the media,
I would be like,
I'm out.
Fine. I'm telling you.
Go. I'm out.
It sends chills down my spine.
I'd be so angry over that.
It's chills down my spine. The generosity that they've just poured out, and it's like, oh, whoa, I was supposed to get a percentage of that Cougar Tail bar. And it's like, hey, kid, come on. $80 here. Yeah. Gosh, it was going to be paid to you in 2 years.
That $1,000 I was going to pay you, I'm going to take that back too. You know, I'd be so vindictive over that.
Coach, that's a tough world.
No, it's an extremely tough world. There's so many different scenarios and situations and things that come up when it comes to this new world of college athletics. But I would say, you know, if you sit back and you look at it and you just break it down, you have to be able to communicate. But people are going to learn the hard way sometimes. I mean, I'm not going to say the school, but they take a transfer. It's a high-level school. They have a transfer corner that comes in, goes through spring. The collective pays the kid, and the kid comes in after the spring game and says, I'm leaving, and leaves to school X the next day, and somehow he gets to be transferred again, and they're going to pay him more money, and he double dips in the collective.
Yeah. Oh,
right?
Man.
And so, but now you've got to sit back as a coach and say, okay, now, is that the kid I want in my program?
Yeah.
Right? Because at some point, you know, leaving, left to go here, go to there. I mean, whatever. It's difficult. So you're going to have to – and then the kid's got to look back and say, okay, what's going to be best for me position-wise? How am I going to go? And it's just – it's crazy. Insanity.
And the other thing, too, is, you know, if you're – let's say you're an outstanding defensive end at a Mountain West school, all-conference mm-hmm. guy, you know, near the top of the conference in sacks, and then you have this Power 5 team that says – all right, you know what? We're going to pay you this, and it's life-changing money. You know, it's $500,000 or whatever, $300,000. That's a down payment on a house.
Yep.
You know, that gets you started in life. But you also realize you go in there and you're like, wow, there's two All-American defensive ends.
Yeah,
like I'm going to get buried a little bit on the depth chart.
Exactly.
And so, but you got mom and dad at home saying, we got to get that money. Can you help us out?
Yeah.
But you're leaving your friends, you're leaving your school, you're leaving playing time, you're leaving stats to go and be depth.
Yes.
And that's a hard decision these kids are having to make.
And those education pieces are really, really hard. Another piece that I, you know, that on the flip side of that, of saying, okay, that's life-changing money, I'm making that decision. One of the parts of the collective that I love for our collective is how many times in my career a young man has basically not been able to get to campus because they're asking friends and family for a ticket to get there, and then when he does show up with a plane ticket, because we could never give him one, right?
Yeah.
And now he shows up, and the scholarship checks, you know, those things are about as consistent as nothing. So who knows? That it's like they come on Monday, they come on Friday, they come whenever it's going to be. Sometimes they're not where they need to be. Or a kid comes in the middle of the month, he could sit there for 2 weeks, and what's he eating? Nothing. So then as a coach, you're like, well, now I can't feed him. Well, I'm going to feed him. Okay. Fire me. Congratulations. I'm going to feed him.
Yeah.
So, but now you don't have to do that. We are going to have the ability for certain kids when they come in to be able to say, okay, here is your, you know, the a moving package for you, if you will, right? To come in and say, okay, here we can take care of, get a plane flight, get you where you need to be. And it may be on the back end. You have to give it to them once they get there, whatever it's going to be. But you can help them get food to get their life started, to get things moving in the right direction. Those are things that are really positive about the collective, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Those are game changers.
Plenty of positives.
Yes.
And a bevy of
just a bunch of big questions that get asked every single day, right? And problems that pop up every single day.
And you decided to jump right in the middle of it. Good job, coach.
Hey, thanks.
Hey, I'm on the good side of it. I'm not on the bad
side.
You're
on the fun side.
I'm on the side that makes the change, that helps kids' lives. Yeah, I will say that.
You do
I'm
not get to be a part of it.
Yeah, which is a good thing.
You don't miss being on the other side.
No.
I'm coach, good. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Thanks,
we appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
We'll wrap this thing up next. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz.
Does Miami have a real chance to win the title?
So I do think they do have a real chance, and I'm not quite sure why we're selling them short. They just won the East. I think Denver wins because Denver's better, but I do think it's worth kind of looking at both these teams and saying, all right, wait a sec. Miami went to the finals. They lost in the first round to the eventual champion. They lost in an Eastern Conference Finals on a buzzer beater, and they went back to the finals. That's their last 4 years since they got Jimmy Butler. Like, that's kind of the natural way this thing's supposed to work. If you look at Denver, like, if you just look at their progression, they knocked on the playoff door, won a playoff series, won two playoff series, won three playoff series. It's a very natural, it's actually old school, which I think is really interesting. As much as the NBA is so dramatically different and the parity's more and there's nobody who's dominant, we're still kind of following the same script.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart that I'm feeling for you.
Let them see we're crazy. I don't care about that. Put your hand in my hand, baby. Don't ever look back.
That was a fun hour. That was good stuff. Thanks to Gary Anderson. 2:59, we're wrapping up the show. We got to go.
Well, I wanted to talk all football with Coach, but man, with that, this NIL and collective stuff, it is a, you're constantly learning, and it's something that we absolutely need to know as on-air broadcasters.
Yep.
And so it was nice that he could shed some real light on all the different aspects of it.
Yeah. And we could have gone 3 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only the tip of the iceberg. But I will say this, that's a guy that, you need a guy that need to raise some money, be the face of your collective, and go out there and get it done. That's your guy right there.
Not taking a penny.
Yep, not taking a penny either. All right, Tim's with us. We're live here at RGS, wrapping up another another great show out here. We need to get those phones ringing because, look, if you're upset with the outside of your home and you're thinking, you know what, I can't afford it, this is going to be, you know, it can be overwhelming when you're talking about, especially, you know, when you're looking at trying to change the look of your home. And you're thinking, oh, we'll be fine. Let's just keep doing what we're doing. At bare minimum, have somebody come out there, show you some options, give you a bid, tell them what your budget is, see what you can do to work with the budget. I mean, get some information. That's all we're asking right now.
You're dead on. And you said something I really appreciate because sometimes we don't talk about it enough. Going back to the fear factor, I think sometimes the best thing you can do as a homeowner is be honest with your contractor and be honest with your budget. Because I'm going to tell you straight up, maybe there's other companies that aren't this way, but for our company, if you tell me my budget's $10,000, I'm not going to go, oh, my price is going to be $10,000 now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's not it at all. It's like, okay, what can I build to get you within your budget? And I'm going to be transparent with you. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you
an $8,000 project, I'm going to give you a $10,000 project, and I'm going to give you a $12,000 project, right? We're going to give you some options. So that way you can kind of look and see, okay, here's our budget. But if you don't give us that budget of $10,000, then we don't know what we're starting with. And so I think that's really important. But then you can go back to that, well, okay, my project's 10 grand, or my budget's 10 grand, but man, if I spent 20, I'm going to never have to worry about this house again, and it's going to be beautiful. Well, then that's when we bring in some of the financing options that are really simple, the 6 and 12 months, same as cash options. You know, then you can wait for that bonus at work or that tax return, whatever you're going to get in the next 12 months. So you can do that now and still get the project, save the money with the price increases. And anyway, there's just ways to do it. So if you can have an honest, upfront conversation with your contractor when they come and meet with you, it's going to give you so much of a better project at the end.
I love this company. I've loved working with you for so many years now, Tim, and I just want our listeners to understand that when it comes to exterior projects, when it comes to renewing the look of your home on the outside, and you're thinking about, I want to do this, I want it to look better, I want to feel better about my house, I'm so sick of looking at the same stuff every day, or it's falling apart and it looks terrible, I just want them to keep RGS at the top of mind. That's go and look at Google reviews. Go and look at different customer reviews. And you're going to find that it's relatable. They've got great customer awareness. They've got great response times. They've got great prices. Fifth generation. It's not going anywhere. In 20 years, if you've got an issue, RGS is here. So many reasons to go with RGS.
Well, you said it perfectly, and I really appreciate it, and you're dead on.
Yep.
Just check us out and give us a call. We'd love to come out and earn your business. And, you know, the reality of it is I want to earn your business, because then I plan on you referring me to two or three other people and them and so on. And half of our business comes from that referrals and repeat business. And so, yeah, just give us a call and give us a shot, and let's see if we can earn some business.
801-280-3110. You have issues with your rain gutters, they can take care of that. Your wife saw an episode of Chip and JoJo. She wants to redo the house and paint all the brick black. You know, Tim might not be a fan of it, but he'll do it.
We'll reluctantly do it.
Whatever you want, you turn your house into, whatever you want to turn your house into, he'll help make it happen. 801-280-3110. It's RGS right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.